For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Good friends at BetDSI.com. Guys, now's the time to bet. You know why? Because it's always time to bet. Football is off the hook. I got eliminated in my Pick'em League. In my Pick'em League. I am 1-3 in four different fantasy leagues. I've worked for the NFL for 12 years. Everybody asks me advice who they should start. Who do I think is going to win? I get paid to research every single thing there is, and I am eliminated pretty much from everything already by week three. So, obviously, I don't know anything. But you know who does? The people at BetDSI.com. They got bets that you can make on just about anything. We got a very exciting UFC 205 coming up. We got baseball playoffs coming up. Football is in full steam. Full things ahead with the NFL. So go to BetDSI.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. That gets you 10 free bucks to gamble with. I'm putting out four team parlays just for the hell of it. Hopefully you'll win. I'll do what I think will happen based on what I know, but apparently I don't know very much. BetDSI.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. That gets you 10 free bucks to gamble with. That is super awesome. Also, guys, Dollar Shave Club is in the house. Who doesn't need a shave? I've dated several women that needed a shave. thank you very much, Chad Zumach. and they can go to Dollar Shave Club, too. But go to dollarshaveclub.com/punch. And that gets you your first month for free. And I know several people that use it. I know several people that love it. I just signed up for it. Unfortunately, I bought a razor not too long ago, and I hated it. And when I was shaving with it, I cut my shit, then I had to shave everything clean. And so then I was like, guess what? We just got this new thing with Dollar Shave Club, so I'm actually doing it. So boom, you want the smooth face of the Teeb? I wouldn't wish that on an enemy, but if you do, you can get the one that I'm going to have soon with dollarshaveclub.com/punch. That gets you your first month for free. There are no hidden fees. They're not going to give you the old dipsy-do and no long-term commitments. It's totally up to you how long you want to stay, but you're going to want to stay a long time. And we got a new one coming into town, guys. And hang on one second. Let me get it. SeatGeeks, welcome to the family. Now we try to get, here's what we do, Zumach. We're trying to get sponsors, and I'm not saying this to, you know, because, you know, they're helping us out with the show or whatever. I hated the different times in the evolution of podcasting where we would be forced to read a copy. You know, we're sitting here talking about whatever. We're in a heated argument about anything, sometimes very personal things. Then we got to stop and go, guys, Mother's Day is around the corner, and go to flowers.org or whatever the heck you had to
right.
do. And it just, our fans are like, what? And we got tweeted so much like, dude, why are you, you think we're the people that would buy that? But they were the only people around. And now you get all these cooler sponsors. You can kind of tailor like, hey, our fans need a shave. They probably need to sober up. I'm looking for sponsors for the
right. Know,
maybe a rehab could sponsor a lot of Dave Taylor, everybody, joining the show. We're just going over some sponsors. You look like you just woke up in a tornado. Maybe you look like you slept in my bed, which is on Fifth and Whipper Wheel. But, you know, let's get people, you know, Dollar Shave Club's great. BetDSI is good. Our fans love, you know, they talk about gambling all the time. So let's get people like that and at least try to get our fans to...
It's cooler.
Give them something that they are going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Here's a way you can do it and help out the show. So what SeatGeeks is it's an app. Go to your app store, download SeatGeek. And when you download it, go, and then if you go into settings, when you get it, just put in the code PUNCH, and that gets you $20 off of here's what it gets you off of.
How does it get you off?
It gets you off in a lot of ways. It's for like sporting events. You can buy tickets for sporting events. You can buy tickets for concerts and stuff like that. And it's just like it searches all the different places where you can get it, and it rates the different levels of seats by a grade. So you're like, hey, man, these seats are, you know, at such and such price. They're like at a D level or whatever. So you can search it by what you can afford. It's almost like Priceline and different things like that just for tickets, you know, rock and roll concerts, any kind of concert.
I wish I would have known that because I wanted to go see Black Sabbath.
Yep.
They were playing at the Bowl, and I was looking for tickets, and everything was priced too high. I wish I would have known about that.
Yep. So and it's literally just an app. You can download the app, and then when you do download the app, just go into settings. And then it says, you know, place where it's like add promo code, put in PUNCH, and that'll get you an additional $20 off of the first ticket you buy.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I mean? So if you find, you know, and it's like anyway, you know, you want to go to the preseason, you know, hockey starting right now.
Right.
If you're like, hey, well, I want to find some weird seats in Canada or whatever the hell you're doing. Bam, look it up. And if you get seats for, you know, $40, you get $20 off of them.
Can you use that? Because I have a show at the Hollywood Improv this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Can you use SeatGeek to get in there?
To bring her show?
Plus, I want to slide that plug.
Doing a Kathy Lewis thing. So, guys, that's the new one. That's one of the big news I believe Sam Tripoli's been talking about for a couple months. Breaking news, can't talk about it yet. But this is the first time. So, guys, SeatGeek, SeatGeek. It's one of those things, again, you're going to buy tickets to something anyway. Get this app, put in PUNCH. Get you $20 off your first tickets. And now you have this app where you can just always go there and search for tickets whenever you're looking to go to a sporting event, which all of our fans love to do, or concerts. And they need an app. We need to get an app for rehabs, I think. Right? So that's the first part. We'll get that business out of the way. Welcome to the show, everybody. Two buddies of mine, Chad Zumach, Zoom Man. He's called in from Cleveland a bunch of times.
Yay!
Doing gigs. You called in during the convention, and you were talking to us live walking around the Republican National Convention.
I was a correspondent.
Yeah. And also joining us, David Taylor. My good buddy.
How's it going, guys?
Nobody has done this show more than you.
Is that true?
I believe you're still number one.
True.
Who else do you think it has been?
Must be somebody else.
Name who?
Little Esther.
You've been around more than Tripoli in the last 8 episodes.
Dude!
Definitely more than Ari.
Where has Tripoli been?
He's had a lot of meetings with... He's like him working on a show, so he's had meetings on Tuesdays.
I think he's planning his suicide. I think that's what's going down.
I think, and I always voted most likely to kill himself on this show. Oh. Aaron, who do you think would be the first? Not Ari. It's too good for Ari right now.
It's too good.
It's too good.
I'm going Ari. Yeah, I think
it's me. Yeah. Awesome. I'm still going to be the guy to die the fastest. Dave, what's up with you, buddy? Now, I was
nothing
a little
exciting.
Concerned.
Where is Ari, by the way? Is he not calling in?
Ari is calling in, but we always... Oh, I got 2 texts. Let's see if one of these is Ari. I hit him up a couple times. Nope. I just got a couple punch drunks. We are live. Let's try to call him, because I always love when we get this little... The person you are trying to call is not...
Where in the world is he now?
I believe, now if I can crunch the numbers, he is either doing a week at the International Space Station.
Okay.
Or...
That's a big Joe Rogan following up there.
Trust me. And a lot of stoners.
Yeah.
Very dangerous lighting those bowls up in space.
Edibles. But, yeah, those dry space edibles.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. In those little moon bags.
You're trying
there
to
it is. That's Ari.
Yeah.
So he will be joining us because he told me. Sometimes like he'll text really long texts, and sometimes you'll like text him something like blah 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 blah, and he'll just text back. Yep.
Yeah, I don't really text with Ari that much. Or whenever I send him something, it'll be Steve and Ari, and then it'll be I don't get group texts because my phone is a rotary dial.
Some of my friends, you would agree. Some of my friends are big texters, and some of my friends. That we have are like you talk to him on the phone, and when you get him on the phone, it's like a long conversation.
Yeah.
Like Ari, you could talk on the phone with for an
Ari
hour.
Ari is still a phone friend for
yep, me.
Yeah, me
too.
I don't really text him very often.
Me too. Ari's like a phone guy. Joey Diaz, you're not allowed to text.
Really?
Dude, I told this story on on the show before, but I was trying to get him to do a show of mine I was producing. And so I texted him, hey, because I just didn't want to bother him. You know, he's to me, like, there's certain people where I'm like, I don't want to call him right now. He might be, like, at an odd. Like, Tate, I wouldn't just call out of the blue. I'm like, yo, what are you up to?
Plus, Joey's really intimidating.
Yeah, no kidding. So is Tate. And he goes, so I text him, hey, man, you want to do this show of mine, like, Friday at the Ice House, or what? I don't know, whenever it was. Hit me back. Let me know. My phone rings. It's Joey Diaz. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Listen, cocksucker.
Did he call you a cocksucker?
Listen, cocksucker, you, we're not two 14-year-old Asian women here. You call me like a man. You don't text me like we're a bunch of yahoos running around the playground.
Here's my question for you.
The best part. I forgot the best part. You text me again, I'm going to smash your thumbs with a hammer.
That doesn't sound like Joey. Do you text women or call?
It depends.
There's like an age barrier. It's 30 and below you text, it seems like. 30 and 31 and above you call. But it's not hard and fast.
No, I think they vary.
Yeah.
You know, there's some women that... And I have a good gauge for it because I was raised by lesbians and I have a sister and grandmother. I was all women.
Lesbians,
so I know
love
how
to
yap. No, they love to yap.
Oh.
And I know when they're in a mood to like... you know, one of my great friends, Jackie Gold. Me and her hang out, go get coffee, have dinner sometime, just
loves
whatever.
Loves to yap.
But... She could be in a mood sometimes where she's like, hey, what are you doing? Call me. And I'm like, that could be, I don't have an hour right now.
Yeah.
You know, so that might be a text situation. Sometimes you got to audible, Dave. Everything's not black and white.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Steve-O. Appreciate that attitude.
Throwing that out there. Now, you seem like you're a little down today, Dave.
I'm just tired. Just woke up.
Really?
Well, you had a rough night? What'd you do last night?
Just went to sleep, woke up just now. So it takes a little while for me to.
Do you remember what I was saying when we were sitting outside, Zumok?
What'd you say? I forgot.
When I was texting Dave, I go, he could easily sleep right through this.
Yeah.
You did say that.
Could have happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I did not. I showed up at 12:20.
Now, when you got my, I don't give away your secret bat cave, but how close as the crow flies we are to where
I'm
you live.
I'm incredibly close.
I know that. So
a 5-minute drive.
No, I'm just crunching the numbers here. Did my text at 11:25 saying, see you in a half hour, wake you up?
No, I was like, I'm awake, but it was in the middle of like hitting the alarm to, I hit the alarm like 5-6 times.
I love it.
10 minutes each. And then, I ended up coming a little late.
As I got older, I can't sleep in like that.
I can't do it.
Really?
It got way worse for me.
I'm starting to turn into a farmer. I'm getting up really early.
I romanticize that.
The idea of getting up,
mm-hmm.
starting your day, mailing a letter?
Whenever I have to do something, which usually involves court, when I had to get up early, you know, and you see everybody in the hustle and bustle and doing shit, and, you know, it's like 8:30 in the morning, and you have a coffee, and you're like, hello, mister. You start feeling like, this is what the world's like. But then...
You go to sleep around 10, or you can't do anything at night. And then you think, what am I doing?
I just, you know, what I do and what I romanticize are two different things. Like, I can't be an 8 o'clock guy that does all that shit. I don't know how in God's hell people have children. Aaron, luckily, is going through a divorce right now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man, congratulations.
Really proud of you.
But luckily,
Cardinal season and a divorce. This hasn't been good for you. Sorry, man.
Party's over,
bro. You're really taking it from the Cubs.
Ooh.
Oh.
He's giving the middle finger for those people that are listening.
That was, you know what? That was hurtful. I'm going to say we need to talk to All Things Comedy HR because I felt.
You just got to talk to me.
Why
am I getting calls? are you guys talking? Do you guys want to have kids? Let me ask you that, Aaron.
Yeah, we will.
You will, or you've already discussed
you're right.
It?
That's interesting. You didn't say I
no,
want to.
No, you just got married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just got
married.
Are
you excited about it?
About having kids?
Yeah.
Excited.
Oh, yeah.
Terrified.
It sounds like somebody excited.
I don't know. It's not going to be for a while, so.
You think so, but your wife will make the decision on that.
Let me run this by you. Let me just throw this out there just like you could shoot it down, go crazy. Let's say you have a bad sperm count or something weird like that, but you guys definitely need kids. Would you let one of the three of us on the show
Because I'm back. Hearing a volunteering from Tebow.
Not really. I'm just saying me, Ari, or Sam come in.
Well, and, you know, the question would be, who would you let? Who would be, you can choose one of them to father your children. Who do
we
you
would,
choose?
Keep in mind, we would be just, all we would be doing is donating sperm.
Okay, you're not having sex.
But the old-fashioned way, yes, yeah. We're fucking.
Oh.
What is...
Should we do a poll?
you can watch, you can't watch, but who... In order, which area, which way do you run it
Great
down?
Great question, Tebow.
Thank you, Dave Taylor.
I mean, do I want an Armenian baby? No.
Well,
in fairness, it'll only be a quarter
That's
Armenian.
A bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely, Sam, even a quarter Armenian is too much.
Sam's so, third?
I think Sam's third.
I think he would be the quickest.
I think Ari's third, actually.
Why is Ari third?
I don't want my child inheriting that asshole.
Okay. And I think of all three of us,
like
the most likely to have
has led to you, Tebow. So let's asshole,
the
alcoholic,
most...
Armenian in terms of A's.
Also, this is how we've come full circle in the show already. Right out the gate, he says, I'm most likely to kill myself, but you are the one I would want to father my child.
Well, then you'd be out of the picture.
Exactly.
You would be there for custody. I see what he's really doing here.
There you go. I can't be mad and jealous at you if you're dead.
This isn't. He doesn't want my hairline.
You know, honestly, wouldn't you want Ari just because there's no way to enforce that no child support rule? So you could get money out of him and have a child.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And all you would have to deal with is he'd probably want custody after a little while, but only on weekends. And he would definitely want...
Or just on the outside chance that success is genetic, you know, you'd want to go Ari.
If his success were genetic, you'd think he'd want to go completely outside of this podcast.
But he has no choice.
Yeah.
He's painted into this corner because of our brotherhood.
Actually, okay. We're meeting Brendan Schaub later today.
So when is this going to happen?
Oh, boy. Who, us fighting Fighter and the Kid?
Yeah.
I think we're going to sneak it on him, which is hard to do on a podcast when we keep announcing our plans.
What is your plan?
Well, we are going, because here's the problem, is Caveman Coffee is one of our great sponsors that we love at Tate Fletcher's company. We love supporting them, but a lot of people have been using Fighter and the Kids code, which is, I'm not sure, I think it's two Porsches. I think that's what they're...
Fuck that code.
So, but we're like, use our code. Don't use their code. And then we kind of, and I was like, you know what? We challenged them to a fist fight. Brendan Schaub and Callan.
I think you guys have a great, great chance.
You haven't heard the strategy.
Okay. What's the strategy?
Buckle your seatbelt, Taylor. They're in their podcast and whatever. I haven't watched their show. I'm sure it's great. Everybody seems to love it, but I'm sure they're just in there like, duh, 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 duh. We're a couple of guys making cash and raping people. I don't know what it is they say.
The Fighter and the Kid?
Yeah.
They rape people on there.
I don't, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But then, here's our fucking plan of attack. And don't, guys, earmuffs, don't tell anybody this. Everybody take your headsets out right now so I can tell Dave this. Sam walks in the room and he's like, who wants some? And they fucking wear him out like an old catcher's mitt. Just taking every punch, a lot of it to the face, right? They beat him.
By the end, he's supple.
But I mean, just, yeah, like you just don't even recognize him anymore. They almost beat him into something uglier, and then they beat him into something beautiful. And then they beat him into something.
So they go full Beetle Bailey and then all the way around the corner. And then after the ass whipping, what do you guys do?
So right when they're like, I can't.
Oh.
They're like that. We come in with wave two.
This is rope-a-dope, only Sam is the dope.
No. Sam's just going in for the first wave of attack. He's not a dope. Sam's just playing his part as a bro. Going in there like a bud and, you know, doing what he's got to do.
After they're all tired out, then you guys show up.
Almost.
Okay.
Then that phase two. Because you can't have a phase one and a phase two is just nothing. You got to have phase one, phase two, phase three.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean?
The three act.
Thank you. Gosh. So then comes in wave two. Tate Fletcher and Joe Rogan, they fucking get into it with Callan and Schaub. They fucking pretty much beat the
living. Hold on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's something I'm missing here.
Yeah.
When did Tate and Joe Rogan show up in this plan?
They've been there since we came up with it.
Okay, so if Tate, who I believe was a UFC fighter, and Joe Rogan, who...
Mm-hmm. Tate was Rogan's bodyguard.
Was a Taekwondo champion.
Rogan had a bodyguard?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why?
He always said it was just to keep the riffraff around.
You always need a bodyguard.
I mean, a lot of it is just how cool Rogan is, where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my buddy on the payroll. But a lot of it was just to... He always said his job wasn't to fight anybody because Rogan could take care of himself. His job was to keep people from not even thinking about it.
It's
and
like a strip club.
To be in the good cop, bad cop. Because he goes, my job was to get him from his buffet breakfast at 4 a.m. to the elevator without him having to stop for 100 fucking conversations.
All right. Okay, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if you have Tate and Joe,
why
do you have Sam get his ass kicked at the beginning?
Because I don't want anything bad to happen to Tate or Joe, because just in case, it's really a stamina thing. It's
very
why you throw a jab for the whole first couple rounds.
That's very considerate. I never thought of it that way. But
they
yes.
come in, and because Sam did his job like a real motherfucking dude and a man.
He was a drone.
He went in and absorbed and wore them out. They got tired. You ever see that episode of
The
Simpsons?
He was like the fluffer.
Episode of Simpsons where they just would keep punching.
Yeah.
Homer couldn't go down, and then he would just push him over. That's how Sam's face is going to be. Most of his face.
I like that. Yeah.
So his face is. So that's. It's really more of Sam's face. So he goes in. Then phase two.
There's more.
No, phase two. Rogan comes in, and Tate come in, and then they just. It's like a tornado of fists and teeth.
Is there a phase three?
Yeah, phase three is very important.
Okay.
We discussed there has to be a phase three. Phase two. Phase three. Boom. Me and Ari walk in, and we just kind of stand over those guys all fucked up. And then we're like, that's right, motherfucker. Don't be taking our caveman coffee sponsorship.
Okay.
And then we kind of put Sam in a wheelbarrow. Well, we put Sam's face in a wheelbarrow, and then we're out. And then it would be cool if that was live on air, but even if it isn't, they'll talk about that for a long, long time.
I think it's a perfect solution. You know what? You should do the same thing when it comes to... having Aaron's baby.
How so?
Exactly the same thing you just described, only with a baby. Just with a woman. Just, you know, first Sam comes in.
Sure.
And,
I see where you're going. Yeah. I thought you were saying fight a baby, and I was listening.
And I like that.
You know, you get all this. I have a question for you guys both, you know, very socially conscious people. There's all this Republican, Democrat, Trump, all this talk about all this hoo-ha. And there's all this racist talk.
What's going on? I haven't been keeping up.
You know, there's all this racist talk and all this racial stuff. Where are the babies in all of this? Why aren't the babies complaining that no one's saying enough stuff about babies?
They've had a free ride for too long. These babies are lazy.
They're going to take our jobs.
They're going to take our jobs. They're here in this country to steal from us.
Pretty soon they're going to want to vote.
Yeah, they're going to want to vote.
They're going to want rights. Whatever. I think babies should go to Dollar
really
Shave Club.
Absolutely. Is Dollar Shave Club a sponsor?
Thank you very much. Yes, it is. Hey, do you do Dollar Shave Club?
No, I have a hair clip. I bought a. Do you remember?
Are you a fast beard grower?
Not particularly.
You look like you are.
I shaved this morning and I cut myself.
That's from this morning?
Yeah.
You already look like a prickly pear.
I bought like a hair, because I use beard clippers, but the problem is the batteries would die. So I bought this Ondas razor on a plug and I keep it outside. Who's that bald? Brandon Christie was the guy who told me about that.
Oh, yeah. Brandon
I haven't seen him in forever.
I haven't seen him forever, too. People just disappear.
They really do.
You think about people all the time at the store and you know all the clubs like where we all start.
And then
you
don't realize they're gone until months later.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes much longer.
People don't announce they're going to tap out of comedy.
Why would you?
I mean, that's a good point, yeah.
If you were going to, would you fucking go on a world tour and be like, I'm out.
If you still want
fuck
the attention, if you're so attention-starved that you want to announce you're leaving, you probably would just stay in comedy in the first
place. Just drop a smoke bomb and leave.
Right?
The Irish goodbye.
The old Irish sayonara. What do you think about Arnold Palmer?
Still dead. You know, I'm thinking it could be murder.
Now, you're in these... murder. That's always what they first say. Who would you suspect?
Foul play.
Aaron Hernandez.
I don't know. Also, I mean, look, here's the thing. I just am shocked that Arnold Palmer would get on the boat with Jose Fernandez in the first place. It just seems like a bad decision. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. But,
now, what exactly happened with that? First of all, here's where you're going to be amazed, Umar.
I'm listening.
David Taylor, if something just happened in the news 3 seconds ago, he knows everything about it somehow. And there's really virtually nothing. All of us always say, like, Dave Taylor's one of our smartest friends. You know Corey McCown's just the best golfer.
He
golfs 66s.
They have this stuff in like, my phone.
Yeah, but I read it all, too, and I don't the thing is retention. Yeah. You have I'm like the fucking greasy, you know,
retain certain things. You've taught me certain details about life that I, for example.
Of what not to do.
Well, no. You know, when Johnny Manziel, for instance, was, you remember how it came out after, he was drinking, but it came out later that he was doing coke.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, when I heard he was drinking, I said, oh, he's absolutely doing coke also. And that's. You know, I would not have known that if it weren't for my
Just for the record, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so I'm...
So you know all about cocaine.
I know everything about cocaine.
CeCe Sabathia, same situation.
Yeah.
Remember, he went into rehab for alcohol, but you're drinking that much, you're doing coke. And the rumor was that he was doing coke also.
Well, dude, I mean, but that doesn't
mean... But
America
will accept alcohol, but not coke. They think of one as something they do...
One always leads to the other.
Yeah, so if you do...
I've never done coke sober.
Yeah, but people, like, I think it's for optics. People say, well, I know, you know, drinking, that's what everybody does. You can come back from that, whereas coke is the demon.
It's the first one that makes you a liar. It's the first one, you know, if you progressively go from, like, you know, tobacco to pot.
That's an interesting point.
Whatever. From coke down,
you're
lying. Heroin, meth, all that shit, it's more important than the truth.
If alcohol
that
is
makes
the same
any
way.
Sense. But to someone like me,
yeah.
But I'm
and
saying
me.
In my life when I was the kind of drunk that was like smoking pot and like drinking a fucking six pack every day, you know, I'm not saying my life wasn't unmanageable. I'm just saying I wasn't lying to people about that shit. Once I was drinking like an 18 pack, you know, a day and doing a fucking $60 worth of coke a week so I could keep drinking more. No, I'm not letting people know what's going on.
Yeah,
no one worries about the guy smoking pot and drinking beers.
So we're talking about when you were 15, 14, 15?
Dude, I didn't even start drinking until I was 19.
God, late bloomer.
I didn't start smoking until I was 31. What an idiot. You look at anything, I've made the wrong decision.
Question for you.
21
what?
Do
you think worse Cleveland Brown quarterback situation? Johnny
I'd love to talk about this.
Or not drafting Carson Wentz?
Oh, my goodness. The two first-round picks are not even in the league anymore, him and Justin Gilbert.
Yeah. Well, no, Gilbert's still on the Steelers.
Well, he's not with the Browns. No. Yeah.
Yeah, guys took a flyer on
him. Carson Wentz thing is looking like one of the all-time bad decisions by the Browns.
Oh, it's horrible. It's one thing after another. And
he is so good. And the Rams, too. Both of them made bad decisions to not take
I don't know, man. People are really shitting on Goff. You mean Goff?
The third string quarterback? Yeah.
I just think that it's too fast for him right now. The problem with Goff, I think, and, you know, we haven't seen him throw the Rockets, but problem with him is, really, he's never had to control a huddle. And, you know, Andrew Siliano, who I work at the Red Zone Channel, he's, like, the host. He does a preseason against the Rams. I think he's probably going to wind up taking over that job eventually.
He will eventually.
He loves it.
But it's
but
a
he,
bad,
I'm saying he knows the Rams.
I thought you meant the Goff taking
He knows the Rams. Okay. And he's like, the guy just can't get the huddle down. No huddle his entire college career.
That is a bad sign.
No huddle. And it's just like, you know, you got to memorize. It's like you got to be off book on two pages of a scene. Everything. Damn, bomb, ping, pong, all the terminology. And then be able to audible from that. It's just too fast for him. Fundamentally, he might have it, but, dude, he's going to fucking...
That's a deal breaker for a quarterback.
But wouldn't you think that with that high of a pick and wanting to go for this guy, and you watch him throw and run and how many times he can bench press 200 and how many, you know, whatever, all the bullshit that they run you through the ringer at the combine, wouldn't you look at all of his footage and be like, you know, this guy's never, ever had to call a fucking 9-sentence play in a huddle with 80,000 people screaming? He's just reading hand signals and then going dink donk dink dang tink tonk. West Coast offense.
I guess they think that maybe that's what the Wonderlic is supposed to be for.
But I mean, that doesn't have anything. I don't know. I just think the Rams. You're just like, damn, dude.
Yeah, that was a bad.
That's
but
a high
Browns,
pick. That's a high
Browns
pick.
Are cursed beyond cursed. Their whole plan now.
I think
is,
it's 24 quarterbacks in 18 years.
Yeah.
Their plan now is to accumulate draft picks. They got that guy Podesta.
Oh, you have
Podesta.
A lot of draft picks.
Yeah, but the problem is that. Of all the draft picks, it's going to be tough to get a quarterback as good as Wentz, who's looking, after three games, like an absolute fixture. He dominated the Steelers.
And you watched that whole game.
Yeah.
As did I.
He is a – where's the Browns? Who's playing quarterback? Is it – who do they have now?
Our receiver converted Pryor, quarterback
yeah.
Pryor.
He had a good game.
He did. He was solid.
He did everything.
But
like a high school game.
He did have a high school game. Wonderful point.
But we lost
Terrell Pryor had safety, a high school yeah. game.
But then, yeah, that and then the irony is the Browns lost because they missed a kick at the end. That guy missed three field goals because they did not want to pick up the kicker from Chicago because he cost $500,000 more.
You're absolutely right. They might not win a game.
What price would you put on a win?
I think they would be happy with that.
I think they have to do it that way.
Tanking it, yeah.
What price do you think an NFL owner would put on a win? If you go, listen, this game, nobody knows about it, but at this price, I guarantee you a win.
Well, I mean, honestly.
A healthy win. Everybody gets unhealthy. What do you think that number is? Because you just said 500,000 and they lost that game.
A win is completely different goods at different times. For example, if you are 9-7.
Yes, but there's a mean.
A win means the playoffs. That's a huge, you'd pay a couple million for that. But if you're, say, 1-14, you actually wouldn't want to win because you'd want to.
No, I'm saying a week one win. I'll narrow it down. Week one win.
Considering you have a good team,
yep.
$500,000 is cheap because if you were to pay $500,000 win for $8 million total, their whole salary cap's $100 million in a year.
That's what I mean. What
do
you think?
$4 million?
I'll give you a 1-0 start guaranteed. Everybody's healthy. But what would you pay me for that?
That's got to be a $4 million vote. But,
all right. I could see that.
I yes. could
see. Hey, Ari.
Ari Shaffir.
What up, dudes?
How excited are you about Dak Prescott? You excited about Dak Prescott? Because I have bad news for you. The Eagles are going to dominate that division for years.
Why?
Carson Wentz is a real deal NFL quarterback.
They've got a big boner for Carson Wentz because he just shredded their team.
Every year, the NFC East is the one the media focuses on, but none of the teams are any fucking good.
He shredded you.
They finally have a good team there. The Eagles are going.
It's not every year. It's only been like the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, okay. Then the last 4 years, it's been. But
the
it's all always...
the Eagles consistently have been this team that's like never quite lived up to potentials.
That's Andy Reid. The new coach looks pretty good. They fucking whipped the shit out of the Steelers.
And also, I think that what's his name? Chip Kelly. I think he fucked that franchise for 3 years and got the fuck out.
It wasn't good, but now they're in a shockingly good place.
He was like the shitty stepdad that like came in.
He drained all the talent.
Doggy and your mom with bourbon on his breath, and then he fucking bailed on her.
In your case, though, the shitty stepmom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She just came down and hammered clam for a while.
Yeah, that hammer clam. She's great at that.
All right, where are you?
I'm in New York.
Were you just in Chicago, or are you about to be in Chicago?
I was just in.
Now, what's the weather like in New York? Because in Los Angeles, it's about 100.
It's about what?
It is 100 degrees.
Oh, really? No, it was like when I went outside today, it was about 72.
That's not bad. That's one of the few times I'm going to say better weather in New York than Los Angeles.
Was that you before saying how like much better the weather? Someone was saying it. I don't know who it was. Someone was saying how much better the weather was. I'm like, yeah, but right now it's 78. Now's not the time to say it.
It might have been me.
Yeah, you got to pick your battles.
But, you know, statistically, it's a pretty good job.
You're statistically.
You know, you take that back, Ari. You know I hate it.
Sorry.
That's a trigger for me.
Ari, what are you typing?
I was finishing off this email. Now I'm done.
Are you sending that email to our television people?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I totally forgot. We have business to attend to.
It's week three.
Ari, did you watch, Chad Zumach is here and so is Dave Taylor. We discussed some of our sponsorship and I'm getting you caught up to speed. And then,
did you do the new sponsor, whatever, Dollar Shave Club?
I did Dollar Shave Club. I did.
Yep.
We're cooking with gas, as Sam Tripoli likes to say.
Now you're cooking with gas. That's a little hobo likes to say that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're cooking with gas.
Ari, it's a lot to talk about. Now that's one thing I want to talk
Cowboys
about.
Cowboys are 2-1, baby. They're going to make me believe again before they hurt me. That's what they always do. They don't
keep
just hurt me.
When is Romo coming back? Week 6? Week 10?
I come back. I saw a great meme saying that moment. You see Romo on the sideline kind of with a dead look on his face. And it goes, that moment you realize your career is going to end the same way Drew Bledsoe's did.
No. I don't think they're going to have nearly as good of a substitute.
Let me throw this out there. would you take, as a Cleveland Browns fan in dire need of a quarterback, would you take some Herschel Walker-esque type trade where you give the Cowboys a couple of those 9 draft picks you guys have for Tony Romo?
If I was a Browns fan, I wouldn't.
No way. The guy's back is
Yeah, because the Browns make great decisions at quarterback. They're so frugal with their quarterback decisions.
Back is made of glass. No way. Romo come back week 6, leave week 7.
Yeah, he'd be done. First game, gone.
His back is made of glass, or his back is made of glass?
His back is made of glass.
Back, yeah. Yeah, I, at this point, I've lost. I will say this. Yeah, he's injury prone now. For a while, I was like, come on. He had one little thing, and this another thing was unrelated. But I will say, he's not a choke artist. That's fucking overdone based on one missed snap.
I agree with that.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Who's led his team to many, many.
I don't know about great quarterback.
I think he's a great quarterback.
He's good, but not great.
I think he's done.
Yeah, he is done. But I would argue against great.
I think he comes back. That's his job. Top 5 quarterback for at least 5 years in the NFL.
He was never a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Look at his stats.
Everybody get.
They just weren't going to the playoffs, and they were all blaming playoff wins on him when it was all his fucking no defense.
In a league with, you mean, think about it. You can name 5 people better. Breeze.
In a league.
You got to say that.
Matt Ryan.
Not Matt Ryan, but Brady definitely better.
Brady, Matt Ryan.
Ben Roethlisberger, absolutely better.
Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan.
Let's see. Aaron Rodgers.
Matt
Ryan.
So
let's think of a fifth quarterback that is better because they're absolutely.
Cam Newton.
I'd say Philip Rivers.
No.
Philip Rivers. Yes, Philip Rivers on the Cowboys would have been a much better team. That's a guy who was stuck with a bad team, but a lot
of talent.
Definitely
not going to Cam Newton. He's had one.
I'm saying for the last 5 years, easily every year, Philip Rivers has been better than Tony Romo.
I mean, look at Matt Ryan's numbers.
Okay. Matt Ryan's amazing.
Other than last year. All right, here's the thing. And can we please. Everybody jump. There's 2-1 Cowboys, the new regime.
Who'd you say, Matt Ryan? Who'd you say, Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers.
Matt Ryan. Stop it, Ari. You show up late.
You don't look
leave
at
early. You don't fucking. Here's the deal.
Problem with looking at
everyone
stats
get
is
off of this. Okay. They just beat the worst team in the NFL at home.
I know.
That was a banged up, the worst team in the NFL with their starting quarterback.
Who are we talking about?
The Bears.
Oh, yeah.
And now everyone's like, dude, the Cowboys are back. And that's what Cowboys fans do.
Yeah, that is.
Cowboys have been an 8-8 team for a decade. And every time they're 2-1 or 5-4, here we come, man. We're back. You haven't been back since 98.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The problem is they
2-1, they
mop up.
Let's
tell you about Philip Rivers, 2011, 2012.
They barely beat the worst team in the NFL at home. And now it's like, bro, here it comes again.
No, they beat
Kick rocks, Romo. For the last fucking 6 years, it's we love Romo. We love one game from this guy. And it's kick rocks, Romo, and the memes and all this.
Yeah. Well,
you were saying it, Tebow. You were saying it before the season started. And I was like, come on, relax. You had a good preseason. Relax.
I told you that kid was good. I said on this show before the season started was, if Romo gets hurt, you know he does. This kid's going to come in and be very competent. And if he does, you're going to have yourself a quarterback controversy. And Ernst and Ari
I don't see
and
the controversy.
Like,
they'll
crazy.
Bring in Romo, who get hurt. Prescott
for sure they'll
back.
Bring in Romo. There's no controversy. And here's the problem with right. Rivers. 2011, 27 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. 2012, 26 touchdowns, 15
My point is your argument was that Romo is getting dinged because his team wasn't good enough for him to take them deep. Well, if anybody has that problem, it's Philip Rivers. In terms of raw talent, he was great. He just had bad teams because the front office situation
is awful.
What you're saying. Well, the stats are based on the team around you. The Philip.
Right. I mean, if you say he has no one to throw to, he's a great quarterback. We're talking about who did better.
Well, then, if we're talking about who did better, you could also find players with better stats than Romo.
I think that they should.
Not really?
I think they should factor in handsomeness to your quarterback rating.
Oh, well, then definitely Romo's up there. He's got a charm.
I mean, it should only affect it slightly. But, like, RG3.
Right, also, you know, RG, it just occurred to me, and let's not forget Peyton Manning. Not last year, but every year before then.
I'm including Peyton Manning. Sure.
Oh, then if you take Philip Rivers out, you already have 5 quarterbacks that are better.
2013?
Not last year, but even 2 years ago, I'd say better than Romo.
No. Yeah, 2 years ago, he was still injured before that. And Peyton, I put Manning, Brady.
Roethlisberger, and Rodgers, and Breeze. All 5 better than Romo. And your argument was Romo's top 5.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. When Romo returns, do you think Dak Prescott, who's going to start? Are they going to just give it right back to Romo?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Dak, he looks solid.
He
yeah, but they're going to give it to Romo.
I mean,
sure.
Unless this kid goes 7-8-1, or Romo's out 9 weeks or something crazy like that, and you're like, dude, this guy's 9-1. It's week 10. Like, maybe, but...
And you would have to go like 9-1 and look really good. As
that's
a,
what I mean.
You know,
that's the only way.
I wanted to pull Aaron Rodgers on him. Like he
no,
did
he's coming back no matter what because fucking Jones loves him. Not Jones. Fucking what's his name?
Jones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You got to be like just even yeah. like even like think about it as an owner of a team and a coach of a team. You got to be like, hey man, we're behind this guy. And when you say that, you got to do that.
No, no.
Otherwise,
for sure they
the
are.
Whole
and
team is
too,
like, dude, they threw him under the bus.
You know, here's the argument. By the way, that argument you know? Absolutely is propounded, and it usually is followed. But you know, a counter
I don't even know what propounded means.
Is set forth. You know, the New England Patriots.
Is that good or bad?
The New England Patriots are the exact opposite, and that they always win. They're always cutting players. The team says we need them.
Dude,
and
it's
then,
one of the most propounded things I've ever heard of.
It's pretty propounded.
You got to admit it's propounded.
My point is that the New England Patriots completely go against that. They remember they had the quarterback that was hurt. They didn't mind bringing in Brady. Belichick says, fuck you. He's cutting players left and right. For some reason, they don't have to do that shit. Every other team does, though.
I don't want any of you guys propounding my wife. Just for the record.
Too late.
Oh, Ari, guess what? You got a new job.
What? You're going to be dropping a load in Aaron's wife to give her a half-Jewish baby.
We got a new sponsor.
Oh, that's the
cool.
job?
I've already been working on that.
We got a new sponsor.
Good for you.
Aaron's wife's womb.
Oh. Is it the... It's kind of like the Dollar Shave Club because everybody signed
honest,
up.
Guys. Marijuana has made it more difficult, shall we say, to accomplish this.
No, how shall we say it? What do you mean, Ari?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not. Oh, by the way, no, I'm taking Roethlisberger out of that top five.
Oh, get the fuck out of here! Roethlisberger's a dominant top five quarterback.
I got a good name for this episode right there.
What?
Propounded for pound champ.
I like your play on words.
Thanks, buddy. It's a little thing I do. Speaking of play on words,
I'm taking him out. He did better than Roethlisberger 2011 for sure.
Are you still having the same argument about this?
13.
See, this is the problem with Cowboys fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have this suspension of disbelief that is on another level of the world.
You know, they remind
Red
me.
Red Sox fans have
no,
it. Patriots fans.
The entire New York,
rings.
The entire New York media is the classic case of, like, if you play in New York, they think you're a Hall of Famer in any sport. Stephon Marbury went from, like, a selfish bad point guard to a possible Hall of Famer just because he grew up in New York City.
Coney Island.
Yeah.
They just even look. All right. What are you looking up right now? What are you looking up right now?
Romo and Roethlisberger. Romo throws for more yards, gets a higher completion percentage.
He's scouring the internet to prove.
Even though you're like moved on, he's still stuck on it.
I can hear his
Yeah, it's just quarterback rating, completion percentage, yards.
What about then that year? Would it be Eli Manning?
Look at Matt Ryan, dude. Look at Matt Ryan.
Let's see Matt Ryan.
And the argument, the problem with the stats-heavy argument is that, again, Matt Ryan looks great, and Roethlisberger maybe some years didn't look good, but he was winning championships.
Matt Ryan is good-looking.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody had better playoff percentage wins than fucking Romo.
And it's so tough to separate out quarterbacks from the team in terms of raw stats. You look at Kurt Warner's a great
example. Also, if you have a defense that keeps getting you the ball.
Or a line. Look at Kurt Warner. He went from Hall of Famer to could not unseat Peyton Manning. Or Eli Manning to Hall of Famer again, just because of the situation.
Yep.
Matt Ryan's pretty good, but he's not. No.
I'm saying he's good looking, huh? All
right. No, look, I'm looking at a photo right now.
He does not look good. He looks like a guy. He looks like a fucking.
It's Tebow's type. Tebow has a type.
Just gave up his dreams of playing on the PGA Tour, and now he's a local pro.
Well, the irony too is Tony Romo really did have dreams of playing on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Tony
Although
Romo
you got
is hot. Though.
You got to think though, the back injuries are the one thing.
I just said Matt Ryan's handsome. Tony Romo's hot.
I
Brady
will say
is
one
hot.
Stat that Matt Ryan beats Tony Romo easily. From 2010 to 2015. Games played, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, and 16.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. And good looking. Tony Romo, I'd say, is hotter.
Those are really high percentage. Those are a lot of yards. Too many interceptions.
Was Brett Favre still good 2011, 2012? He was, wasn't he? When did he – I'm trying to remember when he got bad and then left the league. I guess it's been a long time since Brett Favre.
I think his Jets run was the end of it.
Yeah.
I think. Was that the last team he played for? I think so.
No, he went to Vikings after
Vikings.
That.
Vikings were
Vikings
after
were
that?
The end.
Yeah,
then
the Vikings.
Yeah.
But he had some pretty amazing games.
The ultimate fuck you.
Yeah, one of the greatest games he ever had.
Now, Ari, do you think Dak Prescott is a long-term solution for the Cowboys going forward or just a flash in the pan?
I think he's going to be like, let me try to remember the guy's name. The Yankees always had these guys.
Kevin Moss.
Kevin Moss, that's it. That's
yeah, and yeah, the and ultimate. It's like, it's speaking of New York media, yeah, 2 weeks,
and people are like, that's it. We got to replace.
They got one of those this year too. Like they that's always have somebody hitting 10 homers in 150 at bats. They're like, hello, Hall of Fame, and then the league says we should throw him a curveball, and then that's the end of his career.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, we can't hit that at all, huh?
Kevin Moss would just lean out over the plate. And, like, I remember listening to New York media that summer, and it would be like, he's leaning over the plate and hit the hell out of the baseball. And then I think they figure out, pitch him in, and that was the end of it.
Here's why I don't think Dak Prescott's the guy. Because there are not many better scouts than NFL scouts. Agree or disagree?
Ari, is your argument going to be that he was a fourth-round draft pick?
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Quarterback is notoriously difficult to predict.
And a lot of that is
Tony
need.
Romo, actually.
A lot of that's
Tony
need.
Romo's undrafted, yeah.
Yeah.
The NFL draft is such a specific when it comes to need.
And need
just the
and
way
situation.
It fell. Everyone's like, yeah, well, everyone had their eye on him. It's just like, man, we value a tight end right now. We have two quarterbacks. You know,
it's
like,
and also, you can't tell who's going to play well at the next level, too. You look
but
at
also,
colleges.
Guys, he's had three games, and he has one touchdown pass.
Yeah, that's not a good. That's a bad sign. Now,
his completion percentage is pretty good. Two-thirds, 66%.
You have a good completion percentage if you're checking down all the time. That's what they do with rookie
Johnny Manziel, first rounder, top 25.
Johnny Manziel also was not a bad quarterback. He was just a cokehead. I would argue if Manziel had never touched a substance, he had a couple he had some really good games where you're like, this guy's really figuring
it
out.
His work ethic is bad, and you can say that's because he had a problem.
Johnny Manziel, if he were born 30 years, 40 years earlier, he would have been a great 1970s quarterback.
Because of how small he was.
He was an addict, and he never prepared. That's all those guys.
He was Joe Namath.
It's Ken Stabler. Yeah, it's Namath. He was Stabler.
You can prove that somebody is actually better than they're drafted, but it takes some time. This guy was drafted this year, 135th.
I see what you're saying.
And he's thrown one touchdown pass.
The one touchdown pass is damning. Yeah, that's not good. Against the Bears, you got to be throwing
more. How many turnovers does he have?
Zero, right?
No interceptions.
It's all that matters, bro.
That's not all that matters.
I mean, if your running back has 160 yards and three touchdowns, and you're managing the clock, and they're playing conservative, and you have no turnovers and a touchdown.
If that were all that matters, quarterbacks wouldn't get $18 million a year. Yeah. They would just send him out there and go, hey, you.
His job isn't that.
Minimum
right
wage,
now.
But don't
I will tell you.
They were planning on this guy.
It
playing.
Makes you believe that they have a chance to make the playoffs. And that is always kills me as a Cowboy fan.
Well, it's also great, too, is considering last year the way it was when Romo went down and the way their quarterbacks were awful. That has to – yeah, you're right. It gives them a hope.
No, the problem is last year, NFC East was so bad that it's like, guys, we're 2-7. We got a chance at this.
And they still fucked it up.
I know. It's like, just let me off the hook. By November 1st, and let me just enjoy football as a whole and not have to feel a pain.
How amazing are the Patriots?
You know, I've complained about this every year. They drag you into the last play of week 17.
That's the business model, Ari. But you look at the Patriots, they're on their third string quarterback and they're still winning games. Some teams can do it.
Yeah, some teams can do it. I'm saying the Cowboys aren't that good. I don't think their defense is very good. I think their defense had one good season when they were playing the weakest schedule in the league, and that was 2 years ago. And then they've lost people since then. It's just like they're not a good team.
Now, Ari, the Raiders, I think we're getting feedback from your thing, Ari.
Is that me?
No, I think it's Ari.
Oh.
What do you mean? I didn't do anything different.
I don't know. But you guys can hear that, right?
I can a little, yeah. It might be.
It might be his Wi-Fi connection.
Well, anyways.
I think Aaron's sabotaging us.
Your bet cool, with Aaron. Sam.
I know it's not looking great. 2-1, but honestly, guys, 2-1.
Wait, what's the bet?
10-5, and 10-5 is okay.
Ari, what's the bet?
Yeah, what's the bet?
The bet is that the Raiders won't make the playoffs.
And what are the terms of the bet?
Wait, first, I want to hear your opinion on whether or not the Raiders will make the playoffs.
Well, let's see who's in that division.
Okay, very good point.
Banged up Chargers. Denver.
Chargers are
arguably
fucked.
The best.
Chargers are 0-3.
Cellar dweller. Yeah. Chargers don't matter.
They're 0-3.
Denver is arguably best team in football, number one in power.
Oh,
rankings.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Denver and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are quite good.
Well, let's throw away the Chiefs. They're not going to win the division with Denver there, I don't think. So then it's like it's a wild card situation.
Right. Okay. So are they going to win the wild card over the Chiefs? Over the fucking
I can see over the Chiefs.
Steelers? Over the Steelers?
I think the Steelers will win the division. I don't think that the Ravens are sustainable. The question is, will he win it over the Bengals, who are pretty fucking good, even though they're only 1-2?
Yeah, exactly. There's all these teams. They got to win the. And so last year, the Jets were 10-6 and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The AFC is a better of the two conferences.
I
don't know if I agree with that.
Honestly, you know, the way I think about it, if they were not in the same division as Denver, I'd say, I don't know, that's a bad bet.
Yeah, and they got to play Denver twice and Kansas City twice.
They're and that, have you seen that Trevor Siemian looks really shockingly good? And that
I will tell you this.
Defense
you
is dominant.
Tebow, what's my number one stat to see who's good and who's bad in any sport?
Size of cock.
Nope.
I like that, yeah.
This is everything before.
Jesus.
What's that?
Number one stat.
That you always look up?
Yeah.
Dallas
sport can see who's good and who's actually bad.
Dallas Cowboys completion percentage.
Any sport.
Run or score differential.
Yes. Score differential.
You know,
the Raiders right now have scored 80 points and let up 79 points.
Triply fuck me with the Raiders because I'm doing this thing not called the Highlander. And I said, who's going to win between the Falcons and Raiders? I need this one. He goes, dude, Raiders all day. Guaranteed. I go, no, seriously. He goes, I'm telling you, Chad, it's a for sure pick. I got eliminated.
Yeah.
He fucked me with these Raiders.
So. I'm going to quote a former Dallas Cowboys coach, Bill Parcells, who says your record is you are as good as your record is. I think the problem with football and score differential is good teams manage to eke it out. You know,
No, there's that too.
Great
I think
point.
That's what makes a good coach.
Great point.
Is winning those close games.
And usually, a good coach is required for a team to go deep. I mean, I see what
always, you're almost always. You run down the list of NFL, baseball, all of it. If you look at the end of the season,
baseball's a little different. But I know what you're saying, the score differential argument. Yeah, yeah. It's a reasonable
occasionally
thing.
Occasionally you'll see an outlier, but very rarely.
Baseball is different, though, because it's so many games over time. Statistically, yeah. It means that.
But like, okay, football's so like, 16. Let's look at the standings right now, or the records. So right now, the Los Angeles Rams are 2-1.
That doesn't – they are like
– they have a minus 17 score differential.
Yeah, that's not
that's
a good team.
More telling than 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, also the eye test. You just can't imagine.
But once again, like where you say you can't, it's like they got blown out week one, and then week two,
the problem with the Seahawks
out of the end zone. It's like if you take away one blowout.
Yeah, three games is not a statistically significant
sample. They kept two good teams out of the end zone.
But that said,
away a blowout,
the Rams suck. I don't care what anybody says.
But yes.
Oh, wait, by the way, how good do the Rams have to be before Rams fans are as annoying as Lakers fans? Because right now they're on a Clippers annoyance level.
It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Not for a generation.
I don't know. How good? Let's say how many years before?
Plus, there's a lot of excitement. They're back in town. I mean,
25.
So,
I think it's 25.
Okay, because the Patriots fans got really annoying very fast when they got good.
No, the
yeah,
because
you remember the Patriots against the Bears Super Bowl. When
they got whaled on.
20-point underdog.
They weren't even like, yeah, they didn't even cover that. It was horrible.
Rams fans won't be annoying until they win two championships in 5 years.
You're right. You know what? Baseball's different. I mean, football's different. I'd say, yeah, if they win two championships in 5 years, yeah.
Chad, what do you think?
And continue winning for the next three or four. They'll be
okay, let's see. We're putting Chad, how long do you think?
I think within 10?
I think one championship, 3 years, they're as annoying as the Lakers fans. Because remember, Los Angeles does have a lot of annoying people.
These are Laker fans. By the way, these are Laker fans. This 80,000 seniors,
yeah, exactly.
When they're all there,
yeah.
There are 65,000 Laker fans.
I think
those
also
seats.
You need like a Kobe Bryant type figure where it's somebody who they can say this guy's the greatest in the league, even if he's not really the greatest in the league.
Right. They had that with Brady for sure.
Yeah. They were already annoying when the Red Hot Chili Peppers opened up the game. I go, okay, they are Lakers fans.
Now, Ari, do you have season tickets, or how is it that you have tickets?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Did you have season tickets? They just called me to see if everything was going great. I'm like, yeah, had a great time at the last game. Can't believe we won. I've been selling them off every week.
That's great. Thank you for offering. I couldn't make it on Sunday, but then I was kind of happy I didn't because people were passing out at the game. They were the heat stroke, right? You hear about that?
Yeah, it was super hot. And I am also thankful that I think it's December 11th. I'm going to Falcons and Rams. I already said it. Red Zone. I told Andrew. I go, dude, you know that game Falcons Rams? He goes, yeah. I go, I think I'm gonna be pretty sick that day. Dude, and I never miss a red zone, so they know that. Dude, it'll be like 8 years before they're back here.
You know, you guys can get press passes to all the games because you're a podcast.
Yeah, but I work at
that's
all,
true.
I never.
I don't
free.
Know if that's true. Also,
here's the problem with that. That might work in Cleveland, some backwater where nobody has a podcast. But that,
oh,
literally,
that's a stab.
You could fill the entire Coliseum with podcasters. Like, there are so many in Los Angeles. I can't imagine that.
If you,
I could off just ones I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, Big J was saying that. I told him I was like, because the UFC is coming to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
and it's a week after I film my special, November 2nd through the 5th in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, you guys, filming my special. November 2nd through the 5th,
you're doing your special.
Ari, are you going to get the barbecue there? I hear it's incredible.
Oh, Franklin. Yeah, I've had it 100 times.
I know them very well.
They've chopped way down on line waiters. So my guy Michael is not going to be able to wait for me anymore.
I thought you were saying that's good, but then I realized, of course you're the person who pays for a fucking line waiter.
Trades tickets.
I walked in.
Wait, you don't even pay them. You give them something worthless for Ari?
Okay, I'd like you to change your tone and repeat that sentence.
Okay. You don't even pay them. You give them something worthless.
No, even better. Even more change.
Okay. Gee whiz, you didn't pay them and you give them something worthless?
Nailed it.
It's very little
hobo. It's not worthless, David. I'm one of the top comics in the country.
Wow.
Breaking news from Ari Shaffir.
This guy's the Dak Prescott of comedy.
He placed value on himself, and that's value, and I like that.
It'd be funny if the second half of this podcast was Ari trying to show other comedian stats to prove he's one of the top.
Yeah.
How can you say?
I'm recording my fourth special since 2011.
I have a better completion percentage.
Hours of comedy on this not happening.
Look at Mitch Hedberg. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. I'm totally dead.
Comedy seller. Stand up New York. And the stand.
He's defending himself like the Cowboys.
He really is, absolutely. Ari is a Cowboys fan for himself.
Right?
Amy Schumer, she priced herself out of the market.
With that whole Tampa Pets Telly thing, like I'm ahead of her.
Ari, you want to, let's do dates out the gates.
Okay.
Go for it. Where are you going to be? Ari, tell us
I have a question.
It.
Ari, how big is the venue where you're shooting your special in Austin?
320, I think, and I'm cutting it down to about 290 for cameras.
Okay, good. That's like a main room size gig. It'll be intimate. Yeah, your fans.
It's intimate, but it's perfectly set up because there's dead spots already there.
I have a question for you. Are fans going to make the trip from far away to see the taping or special? I could see some Ari Shaffir super fans coming from somewhere else.
For sure, somewhere.
Hey, unplugged. Aaron.
Yeah.
Let me know if we get a 908 area code.
Okay.
Ari, so wait, hang on.
Plug your show.
I only got 2 dates left, and then I'm done till 2018. My 2 dates are Brooklyn, New York, October 18th at the Bell House. Tickets at AriTheGreat.com. I will be having a hunt for the edible there. Bell House, New York. Only New York hour. And then Austin, Texas, November 2nd through the 5th, where I'm taping my special, my double special.
Wait, I don't understand. Ari, what's a double special? I really don't know what that is.
Hang on.
Sadness.
Ari, before you...
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Before you
it's a
this...
double album, but a special?
Yeah.
How long is it going to be?
It's going to be long, David.
How long?
It's going to be at least an hour and a half.
Maybe you call it your concert film. Double special is confusing and also pretentious.
No, I'm splitting it up into two different specials.
You got to do an encore.
Wait, you're doing what? You're doing it like Back to the Future 2 and 3? You film at the same time, you release them over time?
Film at the same time, different background, different wardrobe.
So
you're going to...
One is set in the Old West?
No, they'll be pretty similar.
The backdrop changes? Is just hairline changes on the backdrop?
One's going to be all about children, one's going to be all about
adulthood.
Whoa.
Thematically, this is very impressive. Which one are you releasing first?
I believe they will be released at the same time. They will not be like this one's first, this one's second. They're just gonna. I don't know. Depends.
They're
if
like
I do
your
on the
children.
Internet release yeah. or if, internet release will be the same. It's like watching two episodes of Narcos or something. Having that online.
Will you change your appearance between?
Great question. Maybe a beard and then you shave.
Completely
shave.
Jarvis and I
have 2 sets of tape. Have thought about it. Can't do.
All right. Can I suggest something?
Yes.
First set, normal. Second set, you shave your balls. See?
Okay.
I'm gonna put it out there.
With the samurai sword.
Well, no. He'll fuck up the sword with those giant balls.
Dollar Shave Club. Plug.
Yeah.
All right. Wait before you finish.
Does Dollar Shave Club offer machetes?
For you, they probably do. All right. I forgot to play our Dates Out the Gate music. So hang on before
you
finish.
Okay. Well, thank God I interrupted.
17 minutes while we play this fucking song.
Here you go.
What song is it? Wait, I have a question for you. Is this dedicated to our engineer?
Not in the least bit. This has just been. It could be.
I thought you bitch a fat motherfucker.
That's hilarious. 20 years since.
Have
Tupac
you guys?
Died.
By the way, random point. Have you heard the guy who did the Olbermann version of it, the Keith Olbermann version?
Oh, really?
Have you? You should get that. It's online. It's easy to get. It's Keith Olbermann doing.
Really?
Hit him up. Let's see. I'll find it for you.
All right. What really else good. You got? Keep going. We'll knock these out.
That's it, dude. I'm done for a year after that.
What do you mean for a year? Oh, till
I'm going off the road. This is the end of the road tour. The end of the road tour is coming to a close.
Then you're just going to do clubs and you're going to do work on your show?
Just L.A., New York, and no, show's extra. L.A., New York, and some festivals here or there. That's it.
T-Bo, can I plug a date real quick?
Of course. That's what this section's for. It's called Dates Out the Gates.
Let's hear that music.
Hold on. We're hooking you up. Okay. Hold on.
All right. We're going to do is this the
Ready?
Overman one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Ready. This is very exciting.
So I fucked your bitch.
Turn it up.
Which one is which?
First off, fuck your bitch. And the quick you claim West Side when we ride, I'm equipped with game.
He's nice.
To be a player, but I fucked his wife. We bust off. Bad boys fuck for life. WFA and China to me. Weak hearts. I rip Esiason and Carton are some marked ass bitches. My wow. Princess is murdered on an axe and killed with me. And get your caps peeled.
You know.
Grab your blocks when you see Olbermann. Call the cops when you see Olbermann. Who shot me? But Norman did not finish how you about to feel the wrath of a menace. I hit him up.
Wow.
That is it. Now, the backstory there is that was done by a producer on the show, because a lot of that footage is actually from, you know, outtakes
and stuff
but
like that.
But then when they found out he released it, they fired him. But it's beautifully done. Sorry, Chad is plugging a date.
Yes, go for it. What do you got?
No, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, Scottsdale Comedy Spot. 4 shows. Brody Stevens doing a guest spot. And Wednesday, Hollywood Improv, I'm doing my own show with Nick Swartzen. Come on to that. And Chris D'Elia and I are at Keppel Theater Sunday in Columbus. C-Bus. Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Ari, you still haven't plugged your shows. I kept interrupting you.
No, he did.
Did you? I so zoned it out. T-Bo, are you plugging anything?
I will be, once again, guys, it's been successful a couple weeks in a row, so I'll be doing it again this weekend. I will be testing parachutes. They are giving me $50 a parachute. And so if you want to come by, see me jump out of a plane with my fingers crossed, meet me in Orange County. I will be the guy praying and falling at the rate of gravity.
Oh, nice, so, nice. That's
dude, $50 testing parachutes. So it's pretty sweet. I'll also be singing the National Anthem on Hollywood and Wilcox at 4.05 p.m.
I will be kneeling for that anthem.
Come by and put your hand over your heart.
Yeah.
Take a knee. We're fine with it either way.
Good.
We're fine with it either way. This weekend, I am at the La Jolla Comedy Store with Theo Vaughn all weekend. That is going to be
a good show.
Blast.
Yeah,
going to be a blast. So
the grossest thing that's ever happened to me at the condo.
Let's hear it.
I'd love to.
And by the way, this must be incredible. Wait, was this be?
Is this a story where you were beating off
this with Jim Painter?
Yeah,
all the way to completion.
Can I tell you this thing that was grossest for me at the condo?
Okay.
I realized that was way grosser, but not for me. Well, yeah, I jerked off into a teacup saucer as I watched Mariano Rivera close out a win.
Oh, Jesus. Great finishing, you know, move for both of you. Now, what was the grossest thing for you?
There was fucking barf on one side of the king bed in that king room.
Who was there before barf. You?
From whoever was the other week before.
Who?
Barf.
They didn't clean it at all? They didn't send in a maid?
So I asked. They said they sent the cleaners, which I was like, bullshit. So I had to ask, like, who was there the week before? Whitney, and I was like, Whitney, did you fucking sleep in there and barf? And she said she didn't stay in the condo at all, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Called KT. I was like, KT, you fucking barfed in the bed. And he goes, no, I didn't even drink. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I realized I barfed in the bed and just didn't realize. And woke up back
then. Great twist ending. You really had barfed in the bed?
Yeah, I had to call them all. I'm like, this is disgusting. How dare you guys? It was right next to me. The whole fucking
that thing. Was a Kaiser Sose ending.
It really was.
It really did take
Fuck
a
you,
twist.
International star Whitney Cummings.
I didn't
You're a disgusting. Oh, that was me.
So, yeah, all weekend, me and Theo will be barfing in beds at the La Jolla Comedy Store. So, come down 4 shows. And then November 4th, I'm recording my album.
Where?
Return to the Red State in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the Tiger Room.
Fort Wayne, Indiana, be there. Anyone in the Midwest.
Anybody.
Is this going to be a double special?
Yeah, there's no double specials. I won't be shaving a beard or, you know, having a wedding and coming back and doing another set. This is just a regular, old, normal Joe stand-up set doing an hour.
Melancholy and Infinite Sadness and like 1970. What was the album before that?
I'm not flying in a fucking
Siamese Dream.
Yes, there we go.
They're not going to be chanting Tebow like they did Dice for his special.
I'm not wearing a corduroy tuxedo and then a velvet one.
But maybe you should come out
with a yarmulke and one. Maybe I will, Dave. You know what? I like the smell of your breath. I'm in. I'm just trying to do what I do. And if you want to see it, come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, or get the album when it comes out first week of December. And Ari Shaffir, breaking news.
Great. Wait. I'm so sorry. Hold on. I was having trouble listening. Can you just hold on 1 second while I
hold on a second here.
I'm trying to get my Skype working again for a second. No, just hold on. Hold on 1 second. If you could.
I'm going to trust Ari's not going to do something gross. I'm going to trust Ari.
I'm sorry. Tebow, you were saying?
Yeah.
Oh, Ari, I have breaking news.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good production.
News with
well
Ari
done.
Shaffir.
Well done, Ari.
Yeah, that was dead.
I thought you
that
just
was
fart.
Right in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Showcasing tonight at the Comedy Store.
Oh.
Big shoot.
You are?
Arena. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, question for you, Teeb.
Answer for you, sir.
You going to fuck this one up again?
Probably. Hey, you look at my track record, brother.
Can you just do well? All you got to do is just do real well.
I think I'll do well tonight.
Yeah, Ari. That's going to help him out.
Michelle was saying last time. She was like, she said,
she's doing it again tonight.
She goes, no, I didn't do good. And then like 2 weeks later, she goes, I don't see why they can't pass me. I'm like, but you just said you didn't do good. And then they just forget that.
Ari, you know what? I remember when it took you 32 times.
37.
Have a little empathy for people if they don't get through on their first time.
Well, I know what mistake I made last time.
What mistake did you make?
You plugged your CD?
No, I did this.
Sold merch?
Yeah. I was mostly like, guys, go to betdsi.com, use the code PUNCHDRUNK. No,
it's a horrible closer.
Well, here's what's weird about it. Here was what was weird about it that I didn't anticipate. Where I felt like, I probably audibled wrong. That right when they have like three comics and then they start to showcase and then it's like five or six people and then they go back to the show. Now when they start to showcase, 70 other people walk into a pretty packed show and are all around in the room watching the showcase.
Yeah.
I played to the whole entire room and I didn't really factor in that everybody was there watching me perform in front of this audience. It's almost like people watching people doing surgery.
Wait, say that again. I don't understand.
What I'm hearing is somebody who's overthinking.
No.
No, say it again. Who was coming in? Who did what?
He's saying all of the comedians streamed in to see the showcase, and he didn't factor that in. He was only playing to the audience,
played to them too much.
Oh, okay.
Instead of the people that were there.
Instead
just
of
comedy.
The audience.
And by the way, that is an excellent comparison of the surgical theater.
That's what it felt like. And I performed in that room and in that club. And
were
I
you the surgeon or the patient?
I think I switched roles a couple times. Yeah. I was off book on both.
Were you playing to the back of the
room?
That's
why they call it the
OR. Really. I'm just saying I'm saying that threw me off because I was kind of like, wow, man, this, you know what I mean? I was kind of like, oh, that's right, everybody, you know. Ignoring that, I should have just ignored that, not given a fuck, but I was kind of like, you know what I mean?
It's also easy to say I should have not given a fuck.
I think it's tough to do. I know it is, and I think I went first, and I think I did, you know, I would have liked to have had like a, you know what I mean? Watch somebody see how the showcase before, because it...
Read the room?
It's a left turn for the show, kind of, how
I'll
they
tell you
do
what
it.
I saw, because I've seen... I mean, hundreds of
shows. I've seen a bunch, too. Yeah.
You've had hundreds.
And it used to be my favorite pastime. Forget where I wasn't performing, but like when I was working there, I would bring Mitzi in and whatever. I'd sit nearby or just like.
Yeah. Mitzi ran showcases differently. We can discuss that, but okay.
Yeah. I showcased for Mitzi twice. Yeah.
When the show was going on, it used to be on Sunday. It was a fun show. We'd have regulars. Remember all those girls that used to come up from Newport?
Oh, yeah.
Beach, you know, Heaven or whatever her name was. And like. It was just a fun show.
Yeah, Sunday nights were fun, yeah. And it was a different vibe showcasing them. And
you'd have like me hosting or Oshak or fucking lots of different people. Yeah. Just a fun night. As soon as Mitzi came in, all the comedians, instead of like fucking around and everyone messing with each other and having a good time, they'd all get like, here's the material I prepared. And the crowd, who had no idea what
it was,
going
a feedback
on,
loop. They got, the crowd got tense because the comics got tense. And
they
then
could feel everyone getting serious.
And then
I was like, what is this?
And when the crowd got tense, then the comics got even more tense because they could feel it. It went back and forth and back and forth. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It was a different fucking feel. And it was funny. You're right. It was like a fun show. Then Mitzi would show up and there'd be 20 minutes of just real, real tension. And
so
then
I was at the
go.
Store today and I saw, yes. Have you guys ever noticed? And it's like, what?
But here was the difference between the way Mitzi did it and the way Adam does it, is that Mitzi, if you remember, would pass people or say no after 15 seconds. And it seemed crazy. But then once you saw enough, and you're like, oh, I see exactly what she's talking about. She didn't see how you did. It was really bizarre. She didn't wait and see how it closed. She said yes or no. I remember that, right? She would say, she'd circle or run a line through him within 15 seconds.
She would give him the whole 3 minutes, though.
She'd give him the whole 3 minutes, but she would generally make her decision very, very
early.
She was
like, whatever, let me talk to whoever's next.
Yeah,
this guy's awful.
Exactly.
This guy's awful. I used to be really mad at her for doing that
until you
got more into stand-up. And yeah. I'm like, oh, you can just see this guy's a super beginner.
Yeah, you can
They're
tell
really
right
just
away.
Not ready for that yet at all.
She, well, look, a lot of the things, decisions she made, you can question in terms of, you know, talent, but she was right about that. You can tell within a couple seconds how, oh, I see, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, that's also why it was like, when you saw that, it was freeing. You didn't worry as much about doing well or poorly because you're like, oh, this is, you know, they just know. So you just do it and don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She told me I look like a comedian once. I never forgot that.
She told me I look like a writer, but she
did?
Yeah, but that means you're ugly.
I don't know
That's
what
Mitzi's
means
way
me.
Of saying. Mitzi's way of saying you're ugly was, you look like a writer. I said, well, I kind of want to perform. She said, you're a character act. I said, yeah, people have told me that. I've heard
she,
that before.
She was talking to Duncan, and it was when that era when she was like, she would show up. Duncan was talent coordinator.
Yeah.
She would show up and just be she was
talent
angry,
transcriber.
And she would, yeah, talent transcriber is exactly what it was. And she would just fire people or tell people to fuck off.
Ted Twyman. You remember that story, right?
Yeah.
What happened to Ted Twyman?
Ted Twyman's dream was to work at the Comedy Store. He finally wrangled a job. He's working the phones, and Skippy missed one afternoon, so Ted got put in. And Mitzi called in and said, I don't like the sound of his voice. Fire him. And then Ted never worked again. He worked one shift and never worked there again.
You know what happened to me?
Bless
you. I was on the phones my first week, and Brandon Duncan was the do you remember him? Was the manager?
Not really, no. That was
He might have been right before you got. I think I got there a little
before. You were a little before me, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was my first week. I was used to working the phones at the North Hill Service Desk at University of Maryland.
Yeah.
And so I'd answer the phones there, like, North Hill Service Desk is Ari, how may I help you?
Yeah.
Which is not the Comedy Store vibe. The Comedy Store is more jovial. So
it was?
I was like, Comedy Store, this is Ari, how may I help you? And give me Brandon. I was like, yes, ma'am. Give her Brandon. She goes, that guy's not friendly enough. Fire him. And he's like, okay. Jesus. Anyway, then they talked about business for the next, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
And then they forgot they had fired you?
No. And then the end of the conversation, goes, oh, hey, the guy who you want me to fire? She goes, yeah. She goes, do you mind if I just tell him to be, like, more friendly on the phone? And she goes, oh, yeah, okay, do that.
Think about how different your life would
That's
have
it.
Been.
Career's
yeah.
over.
Yeah. Think about how fucking.
Actually still being in comedy. Or monumentally yeah. lower.
Well, remember, when we were pitching FXX, we ran into Brett Williams. All three of us started working at the store, but Brett quit.
He was better than me.
Yeah.
He was better than me that first year, for sure.
And now, we ran into FXX because he was working in the graphic department.
Uh-huh.
He also got somebody pregnant. There's other factors.
Well, so did you.
Yeah, but you're right. He was unable to talk someone out of being pregnant.
There we go. Okay, that's a much. Let's be more specific about our criticisms.
Oh my God,
dude, this weekend or you know that Steve guy Randolph? What that dude? He called security on me. He got security because I was hanging out there, and I was like, no, I'm a comic. I've been doing this for like 13 years.
Oh, dude, they get that so much. If they don't know who you are, bro, you got to be like, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so, and they're like, oh, okay.
Store has changed because it used to be a free-for-all, and you work – I remember once Roseanne had a show, and somebody at her fucking entourage was giving me attitude. I said, hey, fuck you. I work here. Nothing happened to me. Jim Painter once did a bit where he pointed at the waitress who was working and said, you see that bitch with the horsehair? I fucked her so hard she shit in my bed. Nothing happened to him. But yes. Now they have to fucking have headsets and there's a fucking voice in their head.
Ryan O'Neill was shitting on Dean once. He was making fun of him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that was
trying to play tough. He goes, oh, I guess you don't like working here, huh? And Ryan was like, no.
No, what was it? I guess you don't care about your job. He goes, I don't. No, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, he was like, oh, fuck.
So, like, the door guys have gotten, they've gotten aggressive. I've been, like, I've had them yell at us for talking in the back hallway, and it's like, what do you think the store is about? It's people talking in the back hallway. It's the whole point. Yeah, also, they're very aggressive now about people walking through the parking lot. I don't know what that's about, but
really,
yeah. I mean, not so much employees, but they have like a red rope, and nobody can go through.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get that. It's become this thing. It's the problem is weed culture has become so prevalent. Hey, people just walk around and smoke anywhere,
especially at the store. Like, oh, it made it less fun. Okay, Tebow, or something.
Let's take this call. Mickey Gall's on the phone. Mickey, are you there?
Yes, sir. What's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Is Ari still here?
Yeah. No, sorry. He's on hold.
Oh, we got Ari on hold. What's up, Mickey Gall? How are you, buddy? Dude, guess who was hanging out at the Comedy Store last night?
Who?
Nick Diaz.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
And, dude, here's my theory, is that Nate Diaz, who I've hung out with and talked with a bunch of times, real cool guy, last time he was there, he saw me, recognized me, made me feel like, oh, shit, maybe we're buddies. He must have been like, yeah, dog, you got to go to the Comedy Store. It's cool there. Everybody's chill. Nick gets there, and I kind of like, oh, shit, Nick Diaz. I kind of walk up to him. I'm going to say hi to him, and a bunch of dumb fucking bozos.
If you're going to come by the store and you're random like that, you don't want to come on a Monday night because it's bozo heavy.
Yeah, so they all like, dude, no fucking way. And he's had one beer and bounce, and I was like, God damn it.
Spoiled it.
Yeah.
He just wasn't having it. Dude, when are you coming to... I hear you're coming to L.A. for a little stint.
I'm sorry, who wasn't having what? Steve doesn't know how to do the fucking phones.
I'm not here. Mickey Gall's on the phone, and I'm not controlling the phones. Fuckface.
My bad.
Who did it?
It was Aaron. But
Aaron did it.
Aaron, you know...
Get back. Hey, Aaron, guess what? I'm going to drop a fucking mongoloid loaded.
That's what I was going to suggest. Like, really hardcore fuck his wife. Don't
smoke
just
a lot of pot before I have sex. You have to take care of that kid. Dies at 9.
Yeah, Ari. First of all, I want to say thanks to Mickey Gall for wearing a Punch Drunk shirt on Legion of Skanks podcast. Well played, sir.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Choking hell people out on podcasts, huh? Now,
I heard that clip went viral on the Underground.
Dude, yeah, the Underground, BJ Penn, everyone's just throwing things around. It's cool.
That's cool.
That's fucking badass. So, any word on who you're fighting?
Oh, man, it's got to be Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Have they...
Right?
Have you... Oh, I think it absolutely has to be. I think that'd be great. Now, I love where I read that you said, hey, man, you know, because he made some dumb comment about your hair after you zinged him because you said you're going to punch the fucking spikes out of his hair. And he's like, well, if you look at his hair, man, he's got some, like, gel in his hair, but it's, like, could be spiky,
too. Sometimes you get athletes, and you think they're smart, and then they open up their mouth, like Ryan Lochte or whatever, and you're like, oh, you're just a moron.
Ari, you're the only person in America who assumed Ryan Lochte was smart. I appreciate that about you.
That's probably true. So, Mickey...
You can tell when he talks. Like, that's why I say he's corny, man. Like, you can tell he's not authentic. He's, like, you know, he's kind of think things out. That's why I'm going to get him talking. I'm going to keep talking to him. I'm going to get him responding. He's already responding. I'm going to make him step out of his character. Make him, you know, try. If I can get him talking, that'd be beautiful. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, you're really going to Hillary out his Trump, so to speak.
Exactly.
So you challenge him to, okay, cool, put your money where your mouth is. Loser has to shave their head completely bald.
Yeah,
in the octagon, man. Do it in the octagon.
Yeah,
I believe this was the finishing move of Brutus the Barber Beefcake in the 1980s WWE. Yeah.
Don't ask permission. Just have it ready. Either one of your corners. You guys can arrange who's going to have it.
Choke them out.
As done, present the Clippers.
Yeah. Choke them out.
It's a Reebok razor blade.
A Reebok razor blade would be perfect.
Or Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
UFC might have a problem with
that. That's what I meant.
They would have a problem with that. Honestly, if you put a Reebok sticker on there, they'd be way less pissed.
Now,
What
do you think about, here's what we should do, Ari. Think about this. Because Mickey's coming to town, we're going to hang out. He's going to come do the show if he's here on a Tuesday and his schedule's good. We use him as part of phase two against Fighter and the Kid.
Mickey,
Tate, and Rogan all come in after Sam absorbs. And I can't stress
this
enough.
Say, do we still have Sam getting the shit kicked out of him?
A massive amount of concussive striking, as Tate calls it. all around Sam's face.
We come in, like Ulysses S. Grant, and fucking plant that flag.
Yeah, like, boom, bro. Now who got dealt with?
Yeah, now it's Fighter and the Kike.
Yeah. Boy. And then me, Ari, Sam, you know what I mean? Tripoli's, what's left of Tripoli. And Mickey Gall and Rogan and Tate, we all go get, like, you know, tacos and get weird. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, live like bros.
Yeah, live like bros. Exactly. So now what do? You are you still taking your week off, Mickey?
No, I'm back training. I just did one technique practice. I'm on my way to strength condition now. I think this fight's going to happen in December. If I were to guess, I'd say December. Okay. I haven't heard shit yet, but you punch drunk animals. Politely hit up Dana White and just keep that going. I've seen a lot of everyone being like Gall versus Sage, all that, you know, tag us both. Gall versus Northcutt. Let's make that happen.
Is he receptive to external pressure like that?
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely think it helps, man.
From what I know, he is. And anyone is, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
You over, like, stupid, you know.
That's a good point.
Comes up. Everyone is. And every tweet you get in your head, it sounds like 50 people saying it.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, we got to start doing more live videos. And I'm like, one person tweeted that out of fucking 30,000.
Yeah, but they tweeted to Sam, so he's like, we got him. Big shout out to John Smith 274 saying, good show.
Right, yeah, right. So now is the game, like, as a fighter, like, now the game is, you know, you beat the shit out of CM Punk, which everybody loved. You called out Sage, which is such a great move. So now is the game. All right, just stay in shape. Don't overtrain. Don't go crazy. And just kind of keep it idle and ready to rock whenever the phone rings.
Yeah. Right now, I'll put a little weight back on. You know, build my shell a little stronger. You know, try and get a little stronger. Stay in shape. Let, like, little naggy injuries, like, rest, but yeah. You know, man, I'm just trying to get better. I feel good. I'm doing a 2-a-day today. I just feel good. I'm having fun with it. It's nice when you're not in camp because you can train more leisurely. You know what I mean? And, like, enjoy a little more.
Hey, Mickey, I'm from Cleveland, and you guys had that big UFC fight there. What was the atmosphere like there for you in that fight?
Yeah, I like Cleveland, man. You guys are some blue collar, dirty motherfuckers. I like it. I like the Cleveland guys. They're loud, tatted up. Just they have this nice little dirty look to them that I appreciate.
You a fan of Stipe? You think he's a good champion?
Yeah, he's a badass, man. Stipe's a man. Yeah, Stipe's great.
Did you know you're down to come out here and be part of Phase 2? I can take that.
Wait,
as a...
why is he coming out here? Just to hang out, or?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of meetings and stuff out here, so he's going to.
Sorry, what sort of meetings?
Mickey.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Why are you coming to Los Angeles? Do you have exciting things planned here, or just better classic groupie?
Well, I'm excited. The exciting thing is, like, I'm definitely going to get up on Punch Drunk.
Okay, that's right there. That's worth the trip.
And obviously, Phase 2 of the plan. Okay, again, I'm going out there to meet with, like, some, like, Paradigm, different types of, like, representatives.
Guys, he's coming out there to fucking just make money.
Okay.
Ari,
maybe you could be his representation.
Yeah.
Hey, sounds like you have a career plan for him.
One over here, come get it.
Yep.
I'll be one of the top fighters. Look at your stats.
All I asked for is 78%. Sounds pretty fair.
I need to test how your blowjob skills are. Yep. Okay, you're good enough.
Are there agencies that specialize in MMA fighters, and is the plan to try to take you, like you want to act? What do you want to do besides...
I don't know, man. I mean, my real passion is definitely fighting. Like, I really like being able to train all the time and, you know, to test my kill shit versus everyone else's kill shit. Like, I want to fight the best guys in the world. But, I also know that I can only do this for, like, 20 more years. So, you know, I got to make money when I can, and then I got to figure some shit out.
You should train for 2 years and go on the WWE.
Everyone's hitting me up about the WWE.
Yeah, they really have this weird symbiotic relationship right now.
You know, it's the weird thing about them is when MMA showed up, you thought, well, that's going to be the end of wrestling. It's kind of like the WWE is to MMA as Arab comics were to 9/11.
I'll even go further than I
hear you.
Okay, when 9/11 happened, we thought, well, that's the end of the Arab comics. And then they were bigger than ever for those couple years after.
Yeah, it really helped
them. WWE, same thing. When MMA happened, you're like, well, that's got to be the end of wrestling, right? And for some reason, it almost serves as a sort of ad for it. It's like, I'm telling you, it's made wrestling more popular. In a fucked up way.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot of crossovers.
Yeah.
Rhonda was out there. You know, there are a lot of crossovers with that.
Yeah, they use that. Now, you're just coming back into training. Last time we talked to you, you said you were taking a week off after your big victory. Undefeated in the UFC, your big victory over one of the greatest fights. I love that as much as I liked when Henderson knocked Bisping out.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, I was going that crazy like I was when Diaz first time beat McGregor. I was ranked that up there with like my emotional attachments to fights. Then you took a week off. What's the craziest thing you did that week that you would not ever want to say in public? What was that?
Shit. craziest thing I did that week?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I drank a little bit. I don't drink much.
Right. Neither does Tebow.
I drank that week. When I met Ari, I was fucked up drinking on Legion of Skanks and stuff. We had a good night out in the city.
Yeah, that was fun.
I texted Ari, hey, because I saw you guys were on the podcast together, but I hadn't watched it yet, but all the people were tweeting pictures of it and all that shit at me, so I knew Ari was hanging with you, so I texted Ari, hey, Mickey's a cool guy, huh? And then he texted me back, fuck that guy.
And Ari thinks that he could take you in a fight if there were a certain set of circumstances. What was it? Specifically, what was it, Tebow? It was...
Ari, watch this. Hey, Ari, true or false, you text me back, fuck that guy.
No, I wrote, fuck him.
Okay, that's
pretty good.
Everyone's like, hey, I fucking... everyone's tweeting pictures of you and Mickey Gall's... Teep's fucking boyfriend.
Open question. Yeah. How many limbs would we have to tie up for Mickey Gall...
Yes.
...to fight Ari evenly?
Tie up of Mickey?
Just five.
I think you're gonna have to strap his dick to his leg too.
Wait, is head a limb?
No, it's just the two arms, two legs. What would we have to remove to make it a fair fight?
Just an arm and a leg.
One arm, one leg. Ari's losing.
Arm and a leg, I'd beat him. There's no way I wouldn't beat him with arm and a leg.
I guillotine you. Throw the other leg over your back.
Ari, you got no chance.
Let's find out, Mickey.
I promise you. Hey, can I propose something then?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
after my first UFC fight, I choked out a podcast host who wanted to get choked to sleep, so I did that.
Great.
After this one, I choked out Luis Gomez twice, or tapped him out twice, with him starting him out. I think after I beat Sage, I need to do something with Punch Drunk. I was going to propose maybe all three of you guys versus me. We go in a cage.
Oh, I love that.
If Ari wants to tie me up, we can get freaky.
Are you really?
That'd be awesome.
Ari, do you really think you could beat him if he had a working arm or a working leg?
Second of all, I do have rope in my bedroom right now.
I'm sure you do.
On the wrists.
I'm sure you have duct tape and fucking bleach and a body in your
Let's
basement.
Let's not use rope that's bioactive.
One arm and one leg tied up. There, I mean, come on.
Ari.
Hey,
what are we
Mickey.
Tying my leg to? What are we tying my leg to?
I say a moving train.
That's, by the way, that's an excellent point.
I say a moving train.
Well, in case tying your leg, we'd have to just tie the two legs together, I would think.
No.
Listen to this.
I say tie his arm behind his back with his leg behind his back, rope to the other arm.
So he has to hop around?
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
How about this? How about we... Because I firmly believe...
Left arm, right leg.
Put it out to Twitter. Let's see.
I firmly believe you could duct tape his legs together, duct tape his hands behind his back... Yeah. And he could choke you out with his dick.
Ari, I think you're living in a world where you don't understand how incredibly unathletic you are.
Maybe you don't understand that I took jiu-jitsu for over 3 months, 7 years
ago. Yeah. Mickey, I say, I may be questioning. I'm changing my allegiance. Was that 3 whole months?
Are you calling Eddie Bravo a bad coach? Is that what you're saying? To his face right now?
Actually, not to his face, but in this case. So yeah, that would be, I think, a great, great stunt. Ari, you better get in shape because I saw you played basketball.
I'll eat some kale.
Now, what if we duct tape? Mickey, are you left or right handed? You're right handed.
I'm all right, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd be really scared about is a fucking straight punch.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
And here's how I'm setting up a way for you.
I'm Team Ari on this.
Just grappling.
I think Ari can beat him. I do.
Here's how I'm setting a way up for you to get one, Ari.
Hey, hold on. This just in.
Breaking news.
You've already lost.
Here's the thing.
Hey, that's for your sake, buddy.
I say we kind of give him like the Hunchback of Notre Dame vibe. Duct tape his left hand to his right ankle, almost like a, so he can punch around, or he can hop it, Ari, but his left leg and his right hand are free.
This is not going to be good.
And I say include punching and striking.
I'm great with that. I'll tell you how it ends now, too.
Okay, good.
Wait, hold on, let's
end. One-arm guillotine, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
Ari, he's calling his shot. What do you think about
that? I'm personal friends with John Fitch. Who's the other guy from San Francisco? The grappler.
I can see how close you are.
Yes, you mean your best friend, you can't remember his name, you fucking dipshit.
Oh, they don't even use names. That's how close they are.
Everything.
We got a real celebrity on the
that's
line.
That's why you and me are best friends, bro.
Thank you. And that's proof. Hey, somebody timestamp that and put that out into the ethos. Prove that Mickey Gall are best friends. Not Ari, not Sam, not fighting any. Definitely not Ari. Dude, so we duct tape your left leg, your left wrist to your right ankle.
Yeah.
We include striking. Ari's blindfolded. And we spin him around like 10 times like a pinata thing. And then it's just go.
I feel like when his nuts explode, they will yield a lot of candy, and we'll find out what was in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Can I say this, by the way, side point?
Of course.
When you told Sage that quit talking and start showering to get rid of the fucking
quit taking selfies and start taking antibiotics.
Yeah.
Quit taking selfies. I've
been listening to the best comedians on the podcast for years, man. I'm learning from them.
Nice.
I'm learning how to talk.
Yeah, well, you're doing great, and you've really done a great job at taking advantage of these opportunities. You know, you came right into the UFC by calling out Fuckface, CM Punk. They give you kind of a tune-up fight, kind of like, okay, let's see what he's got. You quick, short work there. Then you take out him, and everyone's like, well, okay, what are you going to do? Call out their fucking diamond boy. This guy's the guy they want to give the fucking reins to, the Sage Northcutt. And
yeah,
Mickey
sure.
Gall is going to butt-fuck him.
Yeah,
is that literal?
And then shave his head. No, that's Mickey Gall's closing move. And then he whispers in your ear, now I'm inside you. And then it's over, man.
It's mental warfare. I like that. Can I make a side point here? Mickey, our engineer is... sterile, and he's looking for somebody to give his wife a baby.
Yep.
Would you throw your name in the ring here, so to speak?
That's great sperm, man.
Yeah, that's UFC fighting sperm.
You're not donating sperm. I must, because I know Mickey has a girl, but she might be cool with you helping out just for the sake of starting a family.
You are donating it vaginally.
Yeah, you're not.
I told my girlfriend that if Serena Williams or Cyborg, I will put a baby in them at any time and have a super baby.
Wow.
So I'm clear on that. So, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah. Not seen Aaron's wife, but I'm going to assume she does not look like Serena Williams or Cyborg. Aaron, is your wife 6'2" and black? That looks like
not yet.
Okay.
Not,
yeah.
Not yet, but maybe she keeps talking out of turn. She's going to wish she was fucking.
Mickey, I have a question about the UFC for you. I know you've been following for a long time before you started fighting, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how fickle they can be sometimes with like dropping people and like, do you worry at all? Here's my question. Do you worry at all that Dana White could suddenly drop you if video gets out of me taking you down and fucking tapping you out?
Good question.
No, I'm not worried about that.
That's bad PR though.
Yeah. That...
Dude, I said to Tate Fletcher at the show, I go, you get me, Ari, and Sam in an octagon. One of us has a 2x4. How long would we last in a ring with you, in octagon with you? And he goes, not long.
Because he'd get that 2x4.
Yeah. And he goes, I go, but dude, there's three of us. He goes, none of the three of you are used to concussive striking. And I go, oh, man, I felt like, you know, when you feel like you have to take a shit, like all of a sudden where you're like, I never heard those two words put together, concussive and striking.
Well, you definitely have had blackouts, but just, you know, hammered by a bottle.
I've been punched in the face. I've been hit with a golf club.
Can I tell you another thing about it? A one-arm guillotine could probably finish me off.
Do you think so, Ari?
Yeah.
Oh, now that you crunch the numbers, you dipshit?
Yeah, I'm realizing now if I start on top of him, he's just gonna post up, fucking grab my head, and then just fucking, sure.
How long did it take you to come to that conclusion?
You've seen the light?
Yeah. You've seen the light?
I can defend that, but like, that's definitely an easy way for you to win.
Here's the thing, Ari. Here's the thing, you dumb fuck. Not only... Yeah. Any submission move he wanted to put you in, you know when you like lock fingers and then he just bends your hand back really fast, like that he could get you.
What, like Zod and Superman 2?
He could get you to tap on an Indian burn. Ow! I'm out.
So the fight's called off?
It looks like Ari has come to his senses.
Oh, no. I'm just saying.
Oh, he's still going to do it. Okay. Well, that's great.
Wait, that's definitely a way he's going to win. I got to figure out a defense of that.
So after
Wait, did you say you choked out a comic twice on a podcast? I kind of like.
Yeah.
Lost. Wait, what? Yeah, the first time wasn't enough?
After my first UFC fight, I choked out. He's not a comic. He's like a podcast host in Pennsylvania. And then I tapped Lewis twice.
Wait, why'd you tap him twice?
Because he didn't believe it.
Because the first one, he said he wasn't ready. He said he wasn't ready for the first one. Where he got down on top of me and mount was the starting position.
Oh, he thought he was going to.
He mounted you and you tapped him.
Yeah, in like 6 seconds the first
time.
Dude,
it was so fast. You
got to
see the video. It was.
It's like, have you guys ever seen a cobra strike? Like and it's like a tenth of a second. You're like, oh, I didn't realize it was that quick. Was it like that where it's like, boom, boom, and then he's done? What was it?
Yeah.
Did he really think he had a chance to?
Dude, he fights cheap too. Fucking, I've gone with him before, and every time you get him in something, and it's no striking, he'll fucking start hitting you in the side with punches. And you're like, no striking, just to loosen you up. He's a fucking cheapo.
That's cheapo. What I said to him too. There was you trying to make it striking, and I was like, Lewis, I love you, dude, but if you touch me with a strike, I'm gonna fucking break you. Like just to protect myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because. You know, you get in those situations, you don't even realize. Maybe you throw hands a little bit. You got to really remind somebody, by the way, no strike. It's like when you leave the room and there's like a fucking sandwich on the table. You got to reemphasize to the dog, hey, uh-uh.
That does not work.
It does sometimes, but not a lot of the dogs I've known in my life. Yeah. But I think that does work.
It's every study they've shown has proven that people think that they would do much better at any sport. They watch it on TV. They think, oh, I could play tennis. But it's got to be especially awful in fighting because...
It wasn't until, and I've said this on the show before, yeah. It wasn't until Shaq retired at age 40, that because we were the same age in college, that I go, holy shit, man. I'm probably never going pro in anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm at the age now where...
And I've never been an athlete.
People are entering the Hall of Fame. And I'm like,
I saw Iverson. I go, "What? I'm old."
Yeah.
Yeah, all these guys I used to have posters of are now bald and coaches.
Yeah.
You know?
Having heart problems.
Scott Skiles poster back in the day.
Did you really?
No, but I always used to love playing with him in...
NBA Live 95?
Yes.
It's great because he's a great Midwest alcoholic.
It's perfect, dude. Those are the only people I like. Arnold Palm, all the Midwest alcoholics.
What about Bobby Sura?
Bobby Sura, great drinker.
Our friend Paul Morrissey had a showdown with him in high school.
I saw that. There's a video online of him playing him, outplaying him.
Yeah. Do you know Paul Morrissey?
Hey,
yeah.
Ari.
Yes.
Hey, Ari. When I missed your performance at the Stand. When are you performing again in the city?
Pretty much every night I'm... Here, tonight, a few sets, but I got a date tonight. I got to drag around.
Whoa,
but,
hold on.
Whoa!
Who's the date, Ari?
Some Jewish girl.
Do you think this could be the one?
Hey, Aaron, did Mickey hang up on us there?
Yeah, Mickey.
Yeah, that's a good hang up, bro.
Oh, nice.
And Ari was so happy to answer him. Oh, I got a big show tomorrow, Mickey. Please come.
Hold on, guys. What's the story with this Jewish girl? Because, you know, there was a period where Ari refused to date Jewish girls because they looked like him.
Ari's in love.
It slowly changed, man.
That's what happens. You come back to it. So this girl, how old is she? 19?
No. She's 30.
Whoa, what? 30?
She'll be 27 in 8 years.
Ari, how many dates have you been on with this girl?
It's been a while. It's been about a year since I've gone out with her.
Oh.
I left town, and then like we just kind of lost touch, and then.
Do you think this could get serious? You know who I saw recently? Who I kept? I still say, even though she's had a baby with a Gentile, I said, Benji's sister Yale.
She had a baby.
Oh yeah.
I'm after his grandma.
Sorry, dude. But look, look at the Afala family. They're fine with having babies and going
on
to the next partner.
I'm after Benji's grandma.
Goyim is different than fucking, what's it called?
What?
I know that very well.
What?
There's Goyim and there's Palestinian Goyim.
Oh, yeah. And the Falas have had both.
I'm really Frank Gallagher-ing Benji's mom.
Well, it's funny. Benji's mom came in with the sister, and the
or
mom
grandma.
Was just trying to, you know, take it. And then somehow the topic of what Benji likes came up, and I said to Benji's mom, I said, look, your son is gay for white trash pussy, and there is no conversion therapy. And she did not look pleased at that statement. But, yeah, Benji likes white trash pussy. The brother is Palestinian, and then the one that would be perfect for you, she's dating some – married to some Swedish guy or something.
That ship has sailed. Yeah. I did like her a lot, though.
I know. It was a great – she's really cool, and I'm like, why not Ari? And she said, two Jewish people together are disgusting.
Are disgusting?
Yeah, she said
rude.
That. And I said, you know, that might be the only thing that you, me, and Ari agree on.
Wow. I mean, I love Jews.
Really?
Yeah, because they like me.
Oh.
That must be the only thing that you, me, and Ari agree on.
Yeah,
said.
That's what I said, yeah. I like Benji's sister. She's clearly only half. She's really cool. She's 6 feet tall. Benji's 5'6". That's not how genetics work.
That's not how genetics work.
I went to college. That's one thing I learned. First thing they said up top. No way they're related. Or they're maybe half. But, yeah, it's too bad it didn't work out. But she had the baby. And I'll say this. For having a baby, she still looks pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
And Ari had a thing for
her. Anybody who wants to have a baby, it's like, oh, yeah, no, you shouldn't. I'm not the guy for you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, with the two of you, it might have actually worked because she's very successful. Maybe she could have just hired somebody to look after it while you did your double special.
Dude, you know how I fucking, Taylor, how we were talking about Shameless and what a great character Frank Gallagher is?
Yeah.
You know how I Frank Gallagher'd Benji right when I first, remember when he had that big party at his place, his grandma's place?
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills? I walk in, place is fucking crazy nice. I mean, this is like what you think Beverly Hills houses are. I mean, it really is incredible.
It's like his place in Malibu.
The pool is incredible. I mean, it's incredible there. So you walk in, you're like, God damn. And Benji comes up, and I can't remember what it was. It was a reason you would bring a gift or bring beer or food or whatever I brought. I gave it to them, and then I go, dude, who lives here? And he goes, oh, this is my grandmother's house. First question, what is it, do you think I ask?
Is she single?
Is your grandfather still alive?
Yeah, you don't want to step in on some guy's territory. You're gentle about it.
That's funny.
Respectful. So, Ari, you're going out with this girl. She's 30. She's Jewish. Is she successful? Is she stable?
Yeah,
she's successful. It's one of those weird ones where it's like, oh, you're not even like, the girls in New York, man, they're different than the girls in L.A.
Well,
hold on a second here. Are you going to tell us about laundry and flying, too? Because I think we're getting into some new territory.
What?
L.A. and New York, they are different.
No, I mean, they all have their careers. They don't fucking give a shit. They're very, like, they're not looking to step up with anybody. They're just, like, they do better than the – it's like a non-industry town here. They all have their own, like, fucking things
going
on.
That's what I liked about Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like you just had your own thing, and it's that little world doesn't overlap with everything. And because this entire town is just that. It's thoughts and ideas, and whether you're a writer, musician, whatever the fuck, everybody's trying to get an extra fucking
I would argue
in.
That the advantage to Los Angeles is that it's not – it's mostly that, but Los Angeles has so many hot women that come to Los Angeles and fail. They move to the Valley. They produce. So you'll get like a second generation of failure baby that can be totally not interested in the industry and very attractive.
Yeah, but they still have that attachment to that world.
Not necessarily. Yeah. It's not 100%.
That world is like there's no real in the industry. It's not a real like. Work hard, you'll get ahead. It's like you need people to help you.
Well, you look at like Scientology. There's literally a religion based on how powerless you feel as an actor. It's like completely like it's random, and then you can maybe try to climb over the bodies of everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it is. You're like remember Rogan said everyone's three auditions away from being a star.
Yeah. Well, what's
there is that thing of like that's all it takes them. Not that you're so close.
Yeah.
But like. It ain't really that hard to get.
What's going on? This what is
Whereas
what industry is this girl in?
CEO of your company.
Yeah. What is this new? What does the new love of your life do?
What does she do? She a doctor? Your new true love, the Jewess.
She's a brain surgeon.
I think she runs some like something in the third world. I don't know.
Good for you, Ari. Way to listen long enough to hear the third world part. I'm saying that's a breakthrough for Ari.
Dave, you're right.
So wait, if it's been a year since you
does some sort of blah 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 third world thing.
No. I'm sorry. I'm legitimately saying this is the most you've ever listened to a woman. So I'm really.
I bet she sure knows he's a comic, and she's some blah blah third world thing.
Ari, so
by the way, just so you know, when my people ask me what my brother does, I go, I don't know. He wears a suit. That's about as much as I know about any non-comedian.
Ari, I was legitimately saying you actually listened to this one. Now, why is you said it's been a year since you guys have gone out. Restarted it? Did you contact her? Did she contact you?
She contacted me once since she was in North Carolina. She knows I used to like UNC, so she mentioned it. I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I was like, I was gone for a long time. I mean, the whole winter I was gone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was in Scotland for 2 months and England. It's just like, you know.
Were you guys keeping in touch?
You sent in her ice sculptures?
No, we just sort of drifted apart after I was gone.
But then what reconnected you? The UNC thing?
I think she reached out. She was like, hey, I don't know, whatever it was.
Missing that sweet D. And you're like, you know you
she
are.
She emailed me. That's what it was. I was actually thinking about her randomly. And then she emailed me like the next day.
I miss that beanbag you call your nutsack slapping my ass, silly.
That's almost exactly what she wrote.
It's
nothing close.
Wedding bells. If you gave Ari like 4 Red Bulls and let him fuck like his new love of his life, it would look like one of those speed bags on a boxer's hip.
It would look like a cartoon where somebody's trying to run, but they can't actually, you know, get the momentum going for a little while.
He has the most deformed nutsack.
You ever seen Ari's nuts?
I haven't seen him.
Ari, the best line was Andy Kindler when Ari got naked on stage. At a show.
I had a belt on.
A belt on, just because it's a long story. Brody was molested. Anyway, Kindler says his line was, cancel my order of the portobello mushroom.
It's like if you took a sock, like a baby sock, and put a tomato in it and a golf ball.
No. Tomato, selling it short. 2 grapefruits.
But he has one giant ball and one like kind of fucked up thing.
Is there anything online I can Google?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Sure, Ari, are your nuts Google searchable, or have you kept them off?
They are. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Get out of your fucking TonyRomo.com bullshit that you're in right now. I can hear him typing away.
Let me just close these 11 windows. Tony Romo, conspiracy video.
Shafir, balls.
Balls would have to come up. Now, I don't see nuts doesn't do it.
Yeah, you're right.
I have a picture of both of us with our nuts hanging out, but you can't really see.
Oh, let me do images.
Doing images.
No, safe search off.
My bloody asshole. So anyway, the Raider bet that they have, Raiders make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, what is the terms?
Raiders make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sam gets his asshole bleached. Raiders lose. Don't make the playoffs. Or no, Sam says Raiders make the playoffs. Loser gets their asshole bleached. Ari
all
says
air lives.
Now, is bleaching an asshole an arduous process?
I don't know, but I think for mine, the amount of ridges that are in there, then yes, it will be.
I think the real think loser of this bet is the Asian woman who does this.
It's more of a propounded thing.
Oh, for sure.
What?
For sure.
Oh, that's the Russian. No, that's right. Yeah, it's more propounded. I think it's the Russian, the 6-year-old Russian woman that, especially with this guy's fucked up ass. Ari.
Yeah.
I am surprised and disappointed in our fans.
I am surprised.
How many people are rooting against me in this bet?
Wait,
because,
why?
Because, I don't know, I feel like they're always rooting for me, and now they're finally not, and I don't care for it.
Ari, your ego today is really out of whack.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're not rooting for
him. I'm a great comic. I'm one of the top 50 comics ever to walk the planet.
I didn't say that.
Everybody should be voting for me.
I'm Tony Romo. I could beat Mickey Gall in a fight.
Yeah. You could duct tape your fucking butthole shut, and I'll still tap you out. Ari.
He's just having a confident day.
I think that he is.
He is actually. Why are you? Because you know what it is. He knows tonight he's dating a Jewish girl, and this one thing about Ari Shafir is, ever since when we first came to Los Angeles, Ari wasn't necessarily great with women, but regardless, Jewish women treat him like Brad fucking Pitt.
Is that true?
It's incredible. Like
it's pretty weird.
There was we were standing outside the Improv. This is like year into comedy, and some really pretty blonde girl walks by and gives Ari the eye and takes 2 steps. I said, "Excuse me," she said, "Yes." I said, "Are you Jewish?" She said, "How did you know?" I said, "Well, I kind of had a hunch." It's incredible. Like when we go into pit something, they were like, the women were just like this. It was like in Indiana Jones at the beginning when he's teaching class.
Yeah,
and the girls,
the eyelids.
Yes, that's how it is. Only, you know, it's something from the Torah. But those girls absolutely love, Jewish girls love Ari Shaffir. So, of course, he knows tonight he's Harrison fucking Ford.
Oh, yeah. Ari, you, I got a smooth move for you. You know, like back in the day when like you would be, because this is an all-Jew date. Oh, there's a girl, and then like the, there's a puddle on the thing, and you would throw your cape or cloak down, and then the girl can walk over the puddle.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
she's
yeah.
on her period, give her your yarmulke, and then she can use that as
can
like a
can I
hat.
Offer a suggestion here?
Sure.
Ari, you put a hole in the matzo. And then you put it on your lap. And yeah. then when she reaches down to take a delicious unleavened cracker, she's just getting a handful of Ari Shaffir.
I like both those ideas. Because one says you're a gentleman.
Oh, I'm actually very sad that I've been looking for Ari Shaffir balls and Googling. I can't find it.
Yeah, I gave up.
I'll it's never crazy. Give up.
Well, I'm shocked that they're not up. I mean, it's only because...
You know, I'm seeing maybe the terms for a future bet.
Take that down.
I enjoy that. Well, guys, let's wrap it up. Good show. Ari... Great job, man. You showed up. You did it.
We're proud of you. You're special. You're double special.
You're bigger than us, and we get that. And I appreciate that you take the time to be talking with us.
Is there another term I should use rather than double special?
Let's see here. It's a little bit unclear. I mean,
super deluxe.
What about... Oh, there's a special. What about that?
What the fuck was that, Stuart?
I don't know. It's just like a guy that's like really mega.
Once you explain it, I guess it makes sense. I can't think of a better term, especially since you are cutting it into two. Are you going to call, what are you going to do the names? Be part one, part two?
Is No. You can watch them in any order. I'll call them childhood and adulthood.
That's really it?
Yep. And I don't know what they'll call the overall special, but those will be the two sides.
I like it.
Use your illusion one and two.
Yeah, something like that.
I think about it. I mean, I'll run it through the computer. I've been having a lot of really brilliant ideas lately that I'm going to run by Ren Azizi, see if he can donate to him.
Definitely. And Ari, quick question for you. So how long before we ask the network? It's been 3 weeks. How long before we push it, do you think?
Yeah, it's time to, I'm going to email Sam now.
Okay, please do. And try to remember. I know you got a busy day of...
right now. I can't find any balls pictures. That's so shocking.
You know, Ari, we can make that happen. What we could do? If anybody, a Punch Truck fan, is a photographer, we should get your balls headshots.
I'll show them to you right now.
Ari, what do you think? Your balls headshots? We can get, like, regular shot, but then also with glasses, so, like, serious look, and then office balls.
I'll tell you
balls.
What, I'm not going to pay for that, but if somebody wants to work on their, what's it called?
Instead their craft? Practice their craft?
No. It's the building
their portfolio?
Their portfolio. Yeah,
Ari,
if you want it for your portfolio.
You need to smoke less marijuana.
You need to smoke some more. Headshots with my balls.
Okay, so great portfolio picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully.
Oh, you know what? Also, we're
going
to need these too because when Aaron wants to show his wife a collection of pictures, obviously we're going to need your balls headshot to make the decision. Wait, hold on.
There's
your
balls.
When Aaron's kid comes
that
out,
doesn't. Here's the problem. That does not convey.
Look at that one ball.
It does not.
I'm looking at your dick right now,
Chad. You have to see it in person.
That's
it's like fireworks.
It's not bringing it justice.
It does not do it justice. It's
look. That one
horrifying.
Ball is lower than his dick, and then the other ball is higher than his dick. It almost looks like the scales adjust.
Kindler's comment was like, if I injustice. Went to a doctor and that was happening, I would ask, and I would definitely get a second opinion if he said something was not wrong.
All right, you guys. Thanks for another great episode. Go to Caveman Coffee. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. That gets you fucking 15% off. Appreciate that. As always, punchdrunksports.com. Click the Amazon link. If you're going to go to Amazon anyway, why not click the Amazon link? And that helps the show out a lot. And we greatly appreciate it. We will see you next week. Suck it.